Bannon here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And, well, for this hour, they're going to be the views of William Grigg as soon as we get him to call in here. But William's certainly one of my favorite guests, and we're going to be talking, of course, about what's happening financially. And, of course, what most people really don't understand is that this financial crisis is sweeping the world. And it's sweeping the world because it's a lot more than simply collateralized debt obligations. I mean, we're in a fiat money system. There's no incidents in history where a fiat money system has survived. And, of course, it is simply not the mortgage loans that are going down. People are not able to pay their credit cards off, and credit cards, you know, the deficiencies, people missing their payments on credit cards is rising. And the same thing is true with auto loans. People who borrowed money to buy automobiles and trucks and SUVs, I just don't have the money. Why? Why? Because certainly inflation is taking so much of their other money simply to buy food. The price of food's going up. And despite everything that the government is telling you about how inflation is not a problem, they're simply lying to you because they don't want the American people to know what's really happening. I mean, go to the gas pumps and tell me there's no inflation in America today. Go to the grocery store and look at the prices. In fact, I buy a lot of things from mail order because I'm sort of an odd-shaped individual, being 6'5" and until recently about 270 pounds. And so I buy things, and I notice the price of the shirts that I regularly buy has gone up over 30%, probably 35 to 40% over the last couple of years. And these are things that are coming in from other countries. And certainly when I buy things from medical supply houses that are coming from other countries, their prices are going up. And of course, as the prices are going up, then people have less money to pay on their loans for their automobiles, their expensive automobiles. They bought without ever wondering where the money was going to come from to pay it. And the same thing is true as far as the credit cards are concerned. And so we find more and more of these bonds, because these have all been rolled over into bonds. The credit card debt has been rolled over into bonds, and the people can't pay them. But, of course, the biggest thing right now is the derivatives. There's a derivative company. They wrote insurance on derivatives naked. In other words, they didn't have the money. They wrote insurance policies on $60 billion of civic bonds, of city bonds and state bonds, and guaranteed that they would be paid on, and they only had about $450 million to cover $660 billion. And, of course, they've been marked down from a AAA rating down to a CCC rating. The price of their stock has collapsed. But then you get into the really big derivative writers, people like Ampac, and they're writing $600 billion worth of derivatives, and something MBIA, probably between $600 and $1 trillion of derivatives, and they don't have the money to pay them off. And a lot of these are beginning to default. Well, let's go to William Grigg here. Hi, William. How are you today?
Dr. Stan, I'm doing much, much better, and that's largely a reflection of your generosity. I sure appreciate the vitamins you sent me. They've worked wonders.
Well, of course, you're part of the family now. We've got to keep you in good shape so we can keep you on the radio, because I think that you have an excellent analysis of the things that are going on. You wanted to talk a little bit about finances. What's your take on what's going on?
Well, I think you've summarized it quite aptly. People are just now, with respect to the larger world, the so-called mainstream media or the secular media, however you want to characterize it, and the proverbial man on the street, just now all these people are becoming conscious of the fact that we're in severe trouble of a sort we've not seen for decades. And I was just talking today with a really good friend.
Hold that thought. We'll get to it as soon as we get back here at Genesis.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase, handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is unavailable. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for a flexible source of auxiliary backup power. Simply place the Berkey Solar Charger in the sun, plug in your application, and you have power. Disconnect your application, the system automatically begins charging its own rechargeable batteries. Get the incredible Berkey Solar Charger for only $75 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
Do you need more than just the constant news of impending tyranny? Yes, this is Elizabeth Border back with the Divided Kingdom, the hour that analyzes spiritual and cultural issues, too. Lou Blanchard and I are delighted, thanks in large part to past listeners' lobbying efforts. Now to be on the Great Genesis Communications Network Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Central, formidable Alex Jones says, this is the network often imitated but never duplicated. Lou and I made the conscious decision to move to GCN because of its classy lineup and leadership. We invite you to hear our program, one we pray will strengthen and bless you. Indeed, trouble is part of the story, but the fellowship of faith surpasses it. Tune in at 6 p.m. Central with the Divided Kingdom.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural wound care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores, also called bed sores. The Healing Formula was developed by a home caregiver with over 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including organic aloe vera gel and 35% hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, decreasing pain, while promoting healing. The Healing Formula has also proved effective in other areas, such as abrasions, cuts, burns, and rashes. There are over 6,000 peer-published documents on the ingredients in this healing bed sore formula, with not one adverse reaction reported when used properly. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee. If you are not completely satisfied, we offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, nurses, and anyone with a non-healing wound. Please visit our website at healingformula.com or call 800-357-2944. That's 800-357-2944.
Communication Network, and of course our guest is William Grieg, and he was just talking about having talked to some other people. So you pick up the story there, William.
Yeah, just this morning I was talking with a very good friend who's very politically aware, a serious Christian man who's also a student of history and economics, and we were saying that really the sense we're getting is that the times are very much like they were in the late 70s and early 1980s, the era of stagflation, with respect to what you can see in terms of the profile of energy prices and the price, the increasing price of precious metals, which tend to be sort of a reserve or a store of value and stability when things become a little bit unsettled in the world economy and in politics. But there are some big differences. I mean, in the early 1980s, in order to stabilize the economy, we had interest rate cuts going on by the Federal Reserve. They squeezed a lot of the liquidity out of the economy, and that's what really brought about the recovery that we had, such as it was, starting in 1983 and running for a number of years. But also there was an effort being made, and you probably know the details this far better than I would, to prop up the dollar by the issuance in the late 1970s of those so-called Carter bonds, which was a really interesting arrangement where we had essentially the Germans propping up the value of the dollar at a time when the dollar was very weak. But one of the big differences here in terms of what was happening in the late 1980s, there was an invasion and occupation of Afghanistan. That invasion was carried out by the Soviets. They invaded Afghanistan in late 1979, and that set up a whole chain reaction of things in conjunction with the crisis involving the prolonged captivity of American hostages in Iran. And now, of course, it's the United States that is bogged down in Afghanistan as well as in Iraq. And Washington is making noises with increasing frequency about the idea of military conflict with Iran. And this is all being done on credit. I mean, Congressman Ron Paul likes to point out that we have a foreign policy in which we borrow from the Saudis in order to protect the Saudis from the Iraqis and the Iranians, or supposedly to protect them from the Iraqis and the Iranians. We borrow from the Europeans in order to pay for a foreign policy that involves stationing troops in Europe when the European Union is wealthier than the United States in terms of its aggregate, I wouldn't call it a national output, but in terms of the Eurozone's aggregate economic output, it is wealthier in any metric that you want to apply. It just makes no sense at all. We end up being a mendicant superpower, and that has immediate consequences that are just now starting to be felt. We spend $3 billion a week on the war in Iraq, and we spend $1 trillion so far, and it has to be paid for somehow. And the way it's paid is that Congress, of course, goes to the Federal Reserve, which takes out its magic checkbook and injects another quantum of money into the economy, and every time it does that, the value of what we earn goes down, the value of what we save is stolen from. There's another really interesting story I saw this morning that shows another element of this that you and I have talked about before, Dr. Stan, and that is that as the housing bubble collapses, the mortgages start to go bad, and people start literally just walking away from these homes. A number of cities are now turning to the federal government and saying, look, we're really taking a hit here because obviously we're not collecting property taxes when people are walking away from their homes or when homes go into foreclosure. We have all these tracts of houses now that are boarded up and rotting with grass becoming overgrown. Somebody has to maintain them, and that falls in the lap of the municipal government. So they're facing, if you will, to use an expression that you used earlier in a slightly different connotation, they're facing a derivative or a collateral bust because municipal governments and state governments now are not collecting revenue from property taxes quite as much as they had expected to. And municipal governments in particular are being left with the cost of the upkeep of these abandoned homes and the upkeep of entire blocks of housing in some places in Ohio, for instance, that I read about, and Georgia, and a number of other major cities in a number of other states. I wrote about this about a year ago. I said what we're going to see is that we're going to see the municipal governments having to assume control of these homes. And in order to make up for the lost revenue, they're going to be jacking up fees and excises and taxes and also more avidly enforcing all the myriad quotidian quality of life ordinances that are on the books that are usually ignored. And so that's going to result in more frequent collisions between financially overburdened citizens and financially avaricious law enforcement officers acting as revenue officers for the local municipalities. And some ugly things are going to result from that as well.
And I think another thing that people are forgetting is that as the income from the property taxes goes down, the city is not getting the income. And a lot of these cities, municipalities all across the country have been borrowing money. And they've been issuing bonds with the idea that they'd have enough money coming in so they could pay the bonds off. But what happens, you know, when they don't have the money? Well, of course, you don't have money and you've got a debt coming due. You have to go out and borrow it. Well, what happens if they can't borrow money so that they can pay off their bonds? Well, what they have to do is default on them.
Yeah.
And when they default and don't pay on their bonds, that then starts this whole cascade all over again. And then, of course, the people who have written the derivatives, people like AMPAC and MBIA, and, of course, ACA now is totally bankrupt. But many of our large banks have been writing these derivatives. And these are different derivatives than lots of the others we've talked about. This is a specific type. And, you know, for municipal bonds, and suddenly, why, of course, these people, you know, they've written $1 trillion worth of derivatives and you don't have the money. Then what happens? Why, you go bankrupt. All the people who are holding those municipal bonds, which have to be AAA rated, usually if you're, you're a pension fund or, you know, some sort of a holding company, you've got to have AAA bonds. And those are no longer AAA bonds because, of course, they became AAA because the payment was insured.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So now, of course, you've got to sell those bonds you've got. But who's going to be buying them? And, of course, the only way you sell them is to get the price down low enough that somebody's willing to pick them up. And so suddenly you begin to see the collapse of the bond market. So these things are in the future, and most people don't understand how all this fits together. We have a society built upon debt, and that debt is collapsing.
Yeah, well, we have a society built upon debt because we have a currency built on debt. The only reason why there's any subjective value to the dollar at all is that it has been designated by the government as legal tender for all debts. It's something that is accepted in exchange for debt, which means there has to be debt in order for the dollar to be in any sense valuable. And it's a perfectly subjective sense, and the only reason why it's accepted that way is because the government forces us to accept it. There's nothing behind it except for the force and fraud, or what they call the full faith and credit, of the federal government. And these are, if you take a look at it, we have a domino reaction going on with a series of landmines, and we're starting to trip every single one of them. And right now, of course, we have the World Economic Forum going on over in Davos, Switzerland, which is one of these Olympian gatherings of the uber elite in the worlds of finance and academia and entertainment and so forth. And the headline from the International Herald Tribune today said the U.S. is in the role of wounded giant at Davos. On the first day of this conference, the report says, a parade of bankers, economists, and political officials expressed deep fears about the faltering American economy, peppered with blunt criticism of its institutions, chiefly the Federal Reserve, which some accused of sowing the seeds of today's crisis. That, of course, is perfectly true. There's no getting away from it. The Federal Reserve is the fons et origo of the financial crisis that we're facing right now, just as it precipitated the Great Depression of 1929 and the policies of the FDR administration that came in 1933 exacerbated and prolonged the Great Depression. And we've had, since that time, an economy which has been built upon a number of rotten pillars. We've had, of course, public debt. We've had the ability to export our debt. In many ways, we went off the gold standard in 1971, and we had a relationship now where we're exporting our inflation. And one of the chief ways we do this is by that corrupt entente with the Saudis, where they agree to price their oil exports in dollars, which means that the OPEC cartel follows suit. That's the reason why the dollar, primarily the reason why the dollar, is the world's exchange currency, That relationship is falling apart right now because a lot of the Gulf states are no longer willing to take the financial hit that's entailed in pegging the price of crude oil to a depreciating currency and pegging their own currencies to a falling dollar as well. And another pillar is something that has been referred to as military Keynesianism. And John Maynard Keynes was the socialist economist, and homosexual incidentally, who was chief advisor to FDR, and his idea was that the government should be in the business of creating money to stimulate the economy, and that you always have stimulus in the economy through debt. And his idea was that the perfect example, the perfect model for his economy would be to hire one group of people to dig a bunch of holes and to hire another group of people to fill those holes back in, and then to create money to pay both of them. That's how you grow the economy, to use the currently popular locution. But the thing is, in the military realm, we've always had this situation where we're always in the business of going abroad in search of monsters to destroy. We're always expanding the imperial domain of Washington. And we have 700 bases in 143 countries or something of that nature. And this, of course, requires a constant output in terms of fiat money in order to pay extravagantly inflated prices to the contractors who supply this self-perpetuating machine. And at some point, that bubble's going to pop. And that's likely to pop sometime this year, because the Army, the military in general, is badly overextended in Iraq and Afghanistan and elsewhere. And the world has taken a measure of our military might, and they find that it's badly overvalued. And once an asset becomes badly overvalued, the bubble pops, and there's a flight away from investing in that bubble. And the United States, which I believe the figure is that we have a military budget which is twice that of Russia and China combined, and larger than the combined military budgets of the rest of the world.
That's exactly right.
Financing this through deficit spending and borrowing.
That's exactly right. We are the U.S. military budget is larger than the combined budget of all the other nations in the world. Well, we'll be back in just a moment here with William Cregan. Do we really need that after all? Russia isn't the enemy anymore. China's our ally. Why do we need such a big military?
As the old saying goes, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you give him a Berkey system, you give him the ability to obtain purified water for a lifetime. This year, when giving Christmas gifts, instead of unwanted trinkets, give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget, and more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com. With one of our quantity specials, you not only get a discount, but in one stop, you can get gifts for the entire family. And it's BerkeyWater.com or call 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438.
Ted Ennis for Midas, January 24, 2008, gold 905.90, ounce gold coins can be purchased for $932.18, $459.15 for half, $229.58 for quarter, that's $932.18, $459.15, and $229.58. The Chinese government has begun a campaign of economic threats against the U.S., hinting liquidation of its vast holdings of U.S. treasuries, responding to Washington's trade sanctions, forcing the Yuan Revolution. Communist Party bodies are warning that Beijing may use its 1.33 trillion reserves as a political weapon, causing bond yields to spike, hammering the U.S. housing market and throwing the economy into a recession. Russia, Switzerland, and several other countries have reduced their holdings due to this threat. Economist Ambrose Evans Pritchard published the report, China Threatens Nuclear Option of Dollar Sales. Call for the report today, 800-686-2237. The value of your hard-earned money is being lost in a global game of chess. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground or $30 outside the U.S.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is it's William Gregg, and we're talking about what's happening financially. And, of course, the average person has no idea what's happening. But we're seeing the implosion of our financial system, but even more than that, the destruction of the value of our currency through inflation. And this is planned. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know, which is why they're lying about the degree of inflation. But then why would you expect they would be telling you the truth? And, of course, what they really want to do is impoverish the middle class and to transfer our wealth to other nations and ultimately to enslave our people. But you go right ahead, William.
Yeah, we do have a situation here where in this country for decades, we have an arrangement that could be referred to as corporatism or socialism for the wealthy. And what's happened over the last couple of weeks, and particularly this week when we have this emergency rate cut, short-term rate cut by the Fed, all these rate cuts by the Fed and all the policies that are being pursued in terms of stimulating the economy, with the exception of the crumbs that would be incorporated into this tax rebate plan. It's interesting, by the way, how when things get really tough, they talk about getting money back into the hands of taxpayers rather than taking money out of the hands of taxpayers. But really what's happening is the tax rebate is just a mild palliative. It's meant to distract and somewhat to soothe the concerns of the middle class and the lower middle class in particular. And the rate cuts by the Federal Reserve are sluicing money right into the hands of the same speculator class that created the bubbles that are now bursting. I think it's really interesting. You mentioned Ambac Financial, one of these big derivative generators, one of the chief architects, really, of this disaster that's unfolding. When you had the Federal Reserve rate cut, the Ambac Financial Group saw that its shares went up 72% in the last hour of trading yesterday. And this is a company that has no credibility at all, because basically what it's been doing is been repackaging and marketing these derivatives that are based on bad mortgage loans. And everybody knows that the company, that investment house, is dealing in garbage. They know that they're dealing in loans that simply are bad and won't be profitable anytime soon. They got no idea what ruination will ensue as these loans begin to unwind. And yet their shares went up 72%. Well, that's why you have these rate cuts. They want to make sure that their people are taken care of and that they can develop some kind of immunity against civil or even criminal prosecution, because they have been knowingly committing financial fraud. Ambac, by the way, we were talking about AA and AAA ratings. Ambac saw its rating be slashed from AAA to AA. Because its loans were going bad, and yet its shares went up 72%, which is a really good example of how Wall Street speculation is an elaborate game, really, of socialism for the rich. Their risks are subsidized, their losses are socialized, and their profits are privatized. And nowhere do you see this done more promiscuously than in the military-industrial sector of our economy. There's a writer by the name of Chalmers Johnson, who has written a trilogy of books on empire, and his most recent, the final installment of that trilogy, Nemesis, is out in paperback now, and I've read a great deal of what he's put out. He had a fascinating piece that was syndicated in a number of websites yesterday about this military Keynesianism concept. And he talks about these people who would have to be considered the world's most notorious and Assyrian welfare queens. And they would be the people who are the contractors, the corporate element of the military-industrial complex, the people who do profit from war, the threat of war, turmoil, terrorism, and things of that nature. And now, of course, this is hived off into another very similar sector, which is the homeland security sector. It's gotten to the point now where you have multiple colleges and universities, both high-end Ivy League universities and state universities, old land-grant colleges and so forth, and even some of the larger high schools now have these federally subsidized and corporate subsidized programs, major programs, and even graduate degree programs in homeland security, and preparatory programs in high school and prep schools for the same programs in college and universities. And the thing that I find interesting about that is that this is a really good example of the malinvestment strategy that the government will impose upon us. There really isn't a separate autonomous demand for homeland security degrees, for homeland security academics. This is something which is generated entirely by the government, and the fact that it's pumping hundreds of billions, or for all we know, trillions of dollars into this effort over the next several decades. What they're saying is that is where really the jobs are going to be found. If you're interested in finding stable employment, you need to be working in the homeland security realm or in some element of the military-industrial complex. Now, in a healthy economy, in a healthy republic, we would have, of course, some people who would be devoting their energies to applications that would go into military and defense-related concerns. We should have a strong and robust military that would be calibrated to the needs of the Republic.
I'm going to have to interrupt you there, William. We're going to do a break. Be right back.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps' potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
This is George Winters Berry of the Genesis Communications Network. Have you ever wanted the truth about the economy? Crash, Are You Ready? Is the fastest growing program on GCN. Our one-hour program airs weekdays, Monday through Friday, from 10 to 11 a.m. Central Time, just after the Power Hour, and just before Alex Jones. To listen to rebroadcast 24 and 7, visit our website at www.hearitonline.com and click on the appropriate link. Our unparalleled guest lineup has included patriots such as Congressman Ron Paul, Scott Ritter, former UN Chief Weapons Inspector Murray Neal, inventor of the Revolutionary Dragonskin Body Armor, and Philip Tourme, USS Liberty survivor. We also focus on alternative health and survival topics. Go to www.hearitonline.com. That's HEARITONLINE.com.
All you men out there, you need to listen up. By the age of 60, one in two men already have a prostate-related health issue. What does this mean? It might be an enlarged prostate, difficulty going to the bathroom, and a diminished sex drive. Not a pretty picture. If you're a man, you need to give your body nutrition to support prostate health. There's no question about it. Many people hear this and they might think saw palmetto, but there's something so much better out there. It's called Beta Prostate, and it contains 3,000 times more healthy plant sterols than ordinary saw palmetto. So before you try anything else, try Beta Prostate. Ignoring your prostate's not going to make the problems go away. Taking Beta Prostate is guaranteed to provide effective, all-natural support. Dial 1-800-457-9914. That's 1-800-457-9914. Call now and find out how you can get a free bottle of Beta Prostate with your order. Dial 1-800-457-9914. Call now.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is William Grigg. But before we go on, William, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get to your blog site and get your information.
The easiest way to get to my blog is by way of the Right Source, which is an online news site I help to edit, and it's sponsored by the Welch Foundation in California. The Right Source URL is www.rightsourceonline.com. That's one word, rightsourceonline.com. And right at the top of the screen, when you go to the Right Source Online, you'll find my photograph, and there'll be a hyperlink to my daily blog, which is called Pro Libertate. Daily is a bit of a misnomer right now because I'm publishing between 3 and 5 times a week, but what I put on my blog would not be brief, random reflections on what's going on. I'm not just commenting sporadically on the passing political scene. I try to develop 3 to 5 times a week a fully orbed op-ed piece that would have hopefully some element of original research, trying to get below the surface of a story, explore a little bit in a little bit more detailed way the undergirding of developments that result in what we see on the surface of politics. It's called Pro Libertate. That's a Latin phrase. It means for freedom. And everything I write has a freedom theme to it. And I'm trying to talk a little bit more frequently about reasons for optimism, because I believe that people now are getting to the point where they're almost as scared as some of us were a number of years ago, and trying to help them find some way of mitigating their anxieties by giving them something constructive to do, or at least some sense of the fact that there is cause for hope. There's always cause for hope, because we are an immensely creative people, and if we return to the source of our greatness, which is our belief in God and our understanding of the Christian outlook on life and the Christian outlook on morality, the basic principles of Christianity, the two great commandments, you know, love God with all your heart, love your neighbor like yourself, those work. You know, when they're applied, they work perfectly. And basically everything that the Constitution mandates for government to do is compatible with those two great commandments. Everything that would bring about honest prosperity and a genuine free market is an outgrowth of practicing those two great principles. And it's a simple concept to understand. It's rather difficult in terms of the application, but I'm trying to provide a little bit more of that perspective, because quite frankly, I'm scared too. I know that most people are just now beginning to wake to our precarious situation and understand that some of the people who 5, 6, 7, 10, 12, 15 years ago were warning about the direction our country was going had sound reasons for offering those warnings. You and I both have been warning people for a number of years. I feel no sense of satisfaction or vindication as times get tough. I just hope that people will start listening now and start acting a little bit more intelligently. And the other thing, of course, that I need to mention in this connection is my most recent book, Liberty in Eclipse, The War on Terror and the Rise of the Homeland Security State. It is available right now, and we're having some problems working out the specific modes of distribution, but as soon as we can, we're going to have it available for purchase through the RightSource website, rightsourceonline.com, and we're also going to be providing quantities to you and to other retailers to get to the public as well. The reason I chose that title, once again, an eclipse is a transitory phenomenon. It's not a permanent state of affairs. There's never been such a thing as a permanent eclipse, unless you're unfortunate enough to be living on Mercury, which only shows one side of the sun. The thing is, I believe that it is still possible, even at this late juncture, that we can restore some semblance of what we enjoyed in previous decades or previous eras of our American experience. I'm sort of a hackneyed optimist. People who read my writings expect that I'd be wearing a hair shirt and living in a strict reserve from humanity. They meet me and they say, well, you're surprisingly optimistic for somebody whose writings are so dark and grim. And my point of view is, as long as you do what you know to be right, you do it as emphatically as you can, and you leave the outcome to God. And once you've made that resolution, then you can afford to be somewhat optimistic.
Well, I certainly agree with you. This is God's battle. We're called to do our best, and we will not be faulted for whatever as long as we do our best. And I don't know how this is going to turn out, but it always has twists and turns, and I believe God would intervene to preserve this country if there were enough worthwhile people here. And, of course, one of the reasons I do what I do is in the hope that there will be a great revival in America. It doesn't look like it now, but who knows what lies ahead. And I think that actually, the financial collapse we're witnessing could be the greatest and the best thing that ever happened to America, because as things get worse and worse, people are going to have to reevaluate what's really important. So take it from there.
You're exactly right. And other societies, in our own society in history, have been confronted with similar predicaments, and they managed to surmount them. And that is because of the resilience and the human personality, and because really, once you've met the measure of the ruin that your government's policies have laid up in store for you, you can start repairing things, and you can't start repairing things until you have that proverbial reality check. You know, the longer you defer the day of reckoning, the worse it gets. And one of the things that, ironically enough, FDR criticized Herbert Hoover for doing back in the late 1920s after the Great Depression was intervening in the economy in order to prop up a number of non-performing or very maladministered corporate entities for political gain. He had huge spending under Herbert Hoover and huge intervention in the economy on behalf of these politically protected corporate interests. And FDR actually criticized him for it in 1932. And if you read the platform of the Democratic Party from 1932, it actually sounds like something that would have come out of the word processor of a supporter of a free market conservative in the 1980s or 1990s. And then, of course, when FDR was inaugurated in March of that year, this is before they moved back the inaugural to January, when he was inaugurated, the first thing he did was he gathered a so-called brain trust around him, and he started passing around the works of Giovanni Gentili and the other theoreticians of Italian fascism, and they put in place many of the rudiments of the corporatist, socialist, slash, fascist economy that we're living under right now, and they kept deferring the accounting, deferring the need to confront the stark reality of the way that our system has been set up. I mean, the Federal Reserve is a fascist body. It's a public-private partnership. Anytime you have a public-private partnership, that's a corporatist or fascist entity, and it's the worst example in the entire history of human economics, because you've got a nominally private entity that is in charge of printing the money with nothing behind it in any quantity that its supervisors deem suitable, working in corrupt collusion with an utterly profligate government in Washington. And that started in the 19-teens, and it accelerated through the 20s. And by now we've got a dollar, the value of which has been almost completely destroyed. And the only thing that's propping it up is the sense that Washington, as the world's hyperpower, is simply too big to fail. And what we're finding out right now is that, no, our government is failing precisely because it's become too big. It's become elephantine. And for that reason, we see the dollar collapsing and confidence in the American economy starting to have ripple effects worldwide. I mean, look what happened in the Asian markets this week as very plausible doubts over the recuperative power of the American economy began to take hold. And that's the sort of thing that's going to happen much more rapidly and much more poignantly as the months progress. I believe this is probably the year that we're finally going to start to catch the hell that our rulers have sown. And to get some idea just how bad it can get, you know, you and I have talked about this before. Look at Zimbabwe, where the Zimbabwean dollar has their inflation has gotten not only parabolic and hyperbolic, but trans-hyperbolic. Really, it's almost impossible to keep track of what the inflation rate is in Zimbabwe right now. But the most plausible estimate I've seen is that it's 250,000%. That government just recently, a month ago, issued a $750,000 note. And as soon as it came off the printing press, it was basically worthless. So they went back this month and they created a $10 million Zimbabwean currency note. And the thing is, if you have a $10 million Zimbabwean note in your wallet, you'd expect you'd have to get change for it somewhere. But the thing is, that's basically two-thirds the price of the local equivalent of a Big Mac. The local equivalent of a Big Mac in Zimbabwe is 15 million Zimbabwean dollars. And this, of course, is because that government is issuing money, or what it's pleased to call money, with literally no restraint at all. And they have the world's perfect fiat currency. But the thing is, if you take a look at our government in terms of the amount of fiat currency it has emitted over these decades and exported to the world in various forms, you got to believe that if confidence were completely to evaporate in the American economy and the American dollar, and the Chinese were to sell off their foreign exchange reserves, and the Gulf states were to make good on their musings about decoupling the dollar from their own currencies and starting to take other currencies in exchange for petroleum exports, and these dollars all came rushing back to the United States, we could very well see hyperbolic inflation of the sort that they see in Zimbabwe. And given the decades-long orgy of spending by Washington, we'd be talking about inflation that would probably transcend that of Zimbabwe. I mean, after all, it's not as if the government is ever going to run out of zeros. I mean, they'll run out of assets to sell off more quickly than they'll run out of zeros. And so, you know, hyperinflation is a very real possibility. It won't happen this week. It won't happen this month. It may not happen this year by the end of this decade. But take a look down the road. When the baby boomers are retiring, we see this the demographic bubble that was created by the baby boomers was once compared to a puppy being digested by a python. You just have this great big lump, you know, passing very uncomfortably through a digestive tract. Well, after the puppy is fully digested and the boomers all start to retire and the entitlements start to explode, It's already been predicted that our government will lose its AAA credit rating. And at that point, in order to cover these tens of trillions of dollars in obligations, if you imagine what would have to be done in terms of the generation of fiat currency in that eventuality, we very well could see the United States go the way of Weimar Germany, or for that matter, Zimbabwe. And so these are things that very likely could happen. And I don't really see how we can avoid this unless we make a fundamental and dramatic change, of course. And if the first tremors of this catastrophe shake people out of their torpid slumber and get them to reevaluate what their priorities are personally in terms of their spending and saving habits, and if that has the healthy collateral effect of getting those people to impose austerity on the government, or at least to start reining in what's going on, this could be a healthy thing. But once again, we don't know, neither you nor I knows, how this is going to come out. I just know that if we proceed in the direction we're going, as most of the presidential contenders and most of the congressional contenders this year would have us proceed, that way lies disaster, and very quickly. And that's something that I think is starting to sink in with a lot of the public. Whether that will have an impact on our political class, I'm by no means astute enough to say.
Well, I think we're living in exciting and dangerous times, and I certainly share your concern about what's going on. And, of course, I would simply point out to our listeners that it was the American State Department single-handedly that imposed Mugabe on Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
And they had promised the people of Rhodesia that if things ever got out of hand, America would give its word of honor that we would be there to rescue them. And, of course, America's word of honor, and $5 will buy a cup of a coffee at any Starbucks in the country.
Yes.
Go right ahead.
America's word of honor is the sound of our dollar.
Right.
But yeah, you're exactly right. The State Department doing what it does best, which is intervening in quarrels that are none of our affair, making matters worse for everybody involved, imposed that demented communist on what had been the breadbasket of Africa. You know, a country which, for all the flaws of its government, was relatively, well, not relatively, in terms of its surrounding neighbors, it was gloriously free and prosperous, and there was a high degree of amity among all the ethnic groups in that country, particularly compared with what's going on right now. And into that situation, the State Department intruded, and the result, of course, is Robert Mugabe, and 3 or 4 decades later is the most grotesque hyperinflation and destruction of wealth that the world has ever seen in a single country. And, of course, the State Department is part of the same beast that's destroying our economy. And as I mentioned in the previous segment, a lot of this has to do, once again, with our foreign policy. We have a foreign policy that assumes that we are infinitely wealthy and something near to omnipotent. And, of course, we're neither all-powerful nor infinitely wealthy. And we're starting to see, and people are starting to realize beyond the borders of this country, that our government has written many, many checks that they simply cannot cash. And at some point, and that point is coming up very soon, people are simply going to call in the chits, call our bluff, and make a margin call on everything that our government has done to over-leverage us. And that's when things get really interesting. I mean, I quoted earlier, a couple of weeks ago actually, a comment by Richard Christopher Whalen, who's with the Institutional Risk Analytics Group, which is one of the really high, stratospherically high market analyst groups, says that the next president, says Richard Christopher Whalen, whoever it is, may be dealing with a 1930s-style financial crisis from the first day in office. It makes you wonder, given the fact that the people who are running for the White House right now are intelligent, whatever you think their politics, there really isn't an idiot among them. They must know that this is coming down, and with the notable exception of one, they all want to keep going in the same direction that is conducive toward this catastrophe, and you got to wonder why they'd want that job, knowing what they know about what's likely to greet them on January 20th of next year.
Well, let's hope and pray that Ron Paul can at least have some influence on convincing the American people that the real reason we have problems is because of the Federal Reserve System,
yeah,
which is a privately owned a banking system, and it is not answerable to the government.
Exactly.
It is supposed to be independent, and of course it uses that independence to enrich the private bankers. And this is the greatest scam of all time, and so we just hope and pray that the American people one day understand that nothing is free. We've been living in an artificial environment, an artificial prosperous society for many years, but the day of reckoning is coming. And the history of fiat money systems tells you, whether it be in Venice, or whether it be in Florence, or whether it be in ancient Rome, or whether it would be in Weimar Republic, or a continental United States during the time of the American Revolution, or in France in 1789, or in France in 1700, under John Law, they always end up the same way. They've known that for a long time, and the question is, why have they taken us to this point where a collapse of the economic system could collapse our society?
Well, I do think that it's important to recognize that all inflation is, really, is the process whereby a fiat currency goes downward toward its absolute value, which is zero. I mean, in the end, as Bill Bonner likes to point out, the absolute value of all fiat currencies is zero. I do think it's interesting that Ron Paul has had an influence in terms of at least resting this debate and redirecting it in a more intelligent fashion, putting it on a course for a more intelligent conversation. Richard Kramer, you're probably familiar with him, the Mad Money guy.
Right, right.
Yeah, he's now talking about the need to investigate the Federal Reserve.
Oh, well, hey, we're out of time, but our guest has been William Grigg. You'll want to go to rightsourceonline.org.com, and we'll be talking to William later. Bye-bye.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels. Housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order online at BerkeyWater.com.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful, attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Yeah. GCN back here. And, of course, this is the time I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And, quite frankly, we need your help to maintain the network we put together with almost 60 outlets of one sort or another every single week. But it's an expensive proposition. And, of course, if you are interested in joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters and helping us, well, I would certainly appreciate your pitching in. And then, of course, my telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we do hope if you are curious about what's happening financially, you need to get my pamphlets. First of all, one of them is called The Financial Armageddon, or Financial Meltdown, I'm sorry. The other is called The History of Money. They're both each $3.95. They're inexpensive, but they're compilations of our newsletters, and they'll give you a real good insight into what's going on financially. And then, of course, the talk we have, Financial Tsunami. It's available on video or DVD. It comes with a syllabus, and we recommend you get that so you can begin to acquaint yourself with the material that the Federal Reserve puts out and know where to get it on the Federal Reserve website. So that's Financial Tsunami. The book, Creature from Jekyll Island. And if you're going to get it now, because it's going out of print and won't be available until it's been republished. And we have a part of the last supply of Creature from Jekyll Island that is available. And so give us a... And then, of course, we carry another book entitled The Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Professor Sutton. And lastly, the book, The Fiat Money Inflation in France. And if you read those books and the pamphlets and watch my DVD, you'll know more than most economic professors, and at least you'll have an idea what you should do to begin to protect yourself from the coming financial meltdown. And then, of course, to put things into the proper perspective, the spiritual perspective, you need to learn about who really runs the world, and you need to get our three pamphlets set called The Occult Hierarchy. That's three pamphlets. They're only $9.95 for all three of them. The Occult Hierarchy, and then, of course, you needed to hear my talk on the forbidden secret. There is a secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years, and you do understand what it is. Not that you necessarily want to engage the source of great power and great wealth and great notoriety that you can that many people have. Many of our people in our government have engaged this source, and they become fabulously wealthy. But eternity is an awful long time, and you wouldn't want to spend it where they're going to be. You need to see the videos we have called "They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll." That's "They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll." There's a 3-hour, a 4-hour, or a 10-hour version. I will tell you, they're among the most gripping programs you've ever seen, and you'll never look at the world through the same eyes again. You certainly would want to get our DVDs. The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning and or the Riddles in Stone. These are two very, very professionally done DVDs, and I will tell you the information on them is very important, because it will introduce you to the secret societies that were here during the early years of America's formation. And those secret societies are still here today. And, of course, they've always been in conflict with the Christian element in this country. At one time, they tried to conceal their existence. Today, they're in total control, and that's why Christianity is under attack today, and why we can't have a nativity scene, and why we can't mention God in prayer in schools, because the occult forces control our Supreme Court, and they control both political parties, and they control the wealth of our nation. And, of course, they have a different dream because they worship a different God. They worship a different God. And then, of course, we suggest you get the 4-tape or 4-CD set, The Secret Behind the Secret. That's The Secret Behind the Secret. And the DVDs, two of them we produced right here at Radio Liberty. One is called The Atlantis Connection. The other is called The Emergence, about the New World Leader. And you get this information, understand it, and then join us in this truly spiritual struggle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization.
Now you can upgrade your existing gravity filter to remove chemicals such as triamethylenes, atrazine, benzene, chlorine, chloroform, and MTBE to below detectable limits. Black Berkey elements are so powerful, they remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and transform water, even raw, stagnant pond water, into delicious, crystal-clear drinking water. Nitrates, nitrites, radon-222, unwanted heavy metals like lead, mercury, and aluminum are no problem. Foul tastes like chlorine and obnoxious sulfur odors are removed without removing the healthful and beneficial minerals that your body needs. Black Berkey elements flow 1.5 to 2 times faster than ordinary gravity elements, which means it takes much less time to filter your water. Supercharge your gravity filter today. Upgrade to Black Berkey purification elements.
Get a 2-pack, only $99, or a 4-pack, only $188. Call New Millennium, 888-80.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for this next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. Hi, Joel. How are we doing today?
I'm just fine, Dr. Stan. Watching the establishment fight for their life to try to save the fiat economy from collapsing.
Well, I think that, as we've told our listeners before, these are the most confusing, most dangerous, most exciting, most frightening times that we probably will ever witness. And so, you go ahead, pick up the ball. Are we going to be talking about what's happening financially?
Yes, we certainly are. You know, there's precious little that we citizens can do sitting here having our money debased before our eyes. There's precious little that all of the big players, nations around the world holding trillions of dollars can do. You know, everyone's held hostage to the fact that we're part of a nation that's the big giant on the block, and everyone has absorbed these fiat dollars, and there's no way to go. You can't go to gold because bad money drives out good. You know, if you have gold, you want to hoard it. You don't go spending it when it's more valuable than the paper dollars. Those are the first things that you want to get rid of.
I don't know if you noticed, but gold closed about $919 today, the highest it's ever been.
Yes, it's you know, it dropped immediately as the market dropped, and a lot of people have explained that as a lot of people investing in gold as a hedge against these market drops and having to cash out quickly to handle margin calls on their market accounts. But you know, if there were any doubt, Dr. Stan, about the Fed's willingness to flood the world with money in order to keep the existing economic order from collapsing, those doubts should now be completely put to rest. Financial powers that be show no signs of allowing a depression, let alone a collapse. Now, whether or not they can still pull this off is still another question, but I think they will. Their main goal is to keep this debt system afloat till the next world war can wipe the slate clean, which may be still 5 to 10 years in the future. That means we've got a whole other inflationary cycle to go through. Who would have thought that they could turn around the massive bear market in stocks on Tuesday after Monday's precipitous fall in world stock prices? But they did, and the floodgates of fiat money are wide open. Even so, there's going to be a major shakeup as a few troubled insider financial institutions are absorbed by others. The ones that have better insider connections to the U.S. money-making stream. The only thing surprising in all of this to me is that the powers that be appeared to be able to shovel money out the door, and the dollar still hasn't collapsed as a result, at least yet. And this week in my World Affairs Brief, I'm analyzing why. You know, foreign stocks fell dramatically last week, and again on Monday, as investors panicked, saw the U.S. economy heading for a severe crisis. It was bad news from a variety of sectors, including numerous reports of financial giants like Morgan Stanley laying off another 1,000 people. These are pretty high-paid individuals as well. Reuters reported that the largest U.S. housing finance company, Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, may report $16 billion in write-downs for the fourth quarter due to the falling value of their subprime mortgages.
Well, of course, we see a lot of the people who have been writing derivatives, of course, like ACA and AMPAC and MBI, MBIA, you know, and of course, these people have massive derivative obligations and no money to pay them with. I mean, we're talking about, you know, $500 billion for AMPAC, so it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out as well. Well, our guest has been Joel Skousen, and we're going to be back here in just a moment with continued discussion of really of what you're seeing is a severe financial crisis. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and our guest this afternoon is Joel Skousen of World Affairs Brief. And Joel has been talking about the financial markets this last week or so. And as we've seen, of course, the dramatic fallout of the stock market on Tuesday. And then, of course, how they were able to run that back up from about $450, 450 points down, back up to, I've forgotten where it was, but certainly we've seen this week consistently, the drops and then, of course, the skyrocketing stock market. Obviously, somebody is manipulating this market, wouldn't you think?
That's right, and I will cover some very dramatic evidence that shows that this is true. But the U.S. Treasury and the Federal Reserve and Congress all made dramatic moves this week to salvage the economy from collapse, clearly, of course, indicating how bad the fundamentals are. The Fed, as many know, made an emergency rate cut of 75 basis points, dropping the interest rates to a very low 3.5%. We haven't seen those rates for several years. The last time it made such a dramatic rate cut, however, was August of 1982. That's how far back the precedent goes. Now, the Federal Open Market Committee is expected to cut rates again, if necessary, next week's last scheduled meeting of January. Anything less than 50 basis points will probably depress the markets. You know, it's interesting that once the investing public gets used to huge bailouts, subsequent small ones have less and less effect. So the powers that be run the risk of having to really bump up expectations of unlimited government intervention while lower rates allow banks to loan cheaper money to businesses in trouble and save many homeowners who are facing large increases in monthly payments. You know, the ones that took out variable rate mortgages. The U.S. Treasuries themselves are paying much lower interest, which dampens investors' willingness to buy U.S. debt. You know, in contrast to that, though, there was a temporary hike in bond values as millions fled the stock market for the safe haven of bonds. This is what people do. They take the lower interest rates, abysmally lower rates, just because everything else looks much, much worse. But there won't be much incentive to stay in bonds, and that's why they're eager to drive them back into the markets. And, you know, certainly an uptick in the markets that was engineered, as we'll talk about, did just that in the past 2 days. The Wall Street Journal gave the opinion saying that the central bank's moves may be too late to stop the U.S. from entering recession, as many economists now forecast, but it may make one milder and shorter. By acting so explicitly in response to market developments just a week before a scheduled meeting to decide on rates, the Fed is running a risk. Investors may view the...
Hold that thought right there, Joel. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Joel was quoting the Wall Street Journal that was talking about what the Fed is doing, and as you know, the Fed had cut the interest rate in emergency 0.75 point. They haven't done that since going back to the 1980s, 0.75 point at one time, and then they're going to have a regularly scheduled meeting next week, and the question is, will they cut the rate again and down to 3.25 or maybe even to 3, and what is this going to do as far as the stability of our currency is concerned, and will it be inflationary? So pick up the story there, Joel.
You know, a lot of that will depend, of course, on whether or not the market really responds. If it looks like they've got everything back on an even keel, they probably will not cut a rate again. But if investors get panicky and wait till the market goes up and then decide, hey, this is going back down again and might start to pull the plug. We could see that if the market starts to approach 13,000, the Dow, 13,000. But as the Wall Street Journal said, the Fed's running a risk that investors may view the steps as panicky, which I think they do, which undermines the goal of the rate cuts. Investors may come to judge the Fed's success narrowly on how the stock market reacts rather than the economy as a whole. You know, of course, the economy as a whole takes a lot longer to show results. The stock market can turn around in a day or two, as we have seen. And the worst part of yesterday's decision, it looked like more Fed appeasement of banks and equity traders, which, of course, it was. Another big change in their reaction was that Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke made a dramatic speech calling for an immediate economic stimulus that must have immediate effects, that even summer may be too late. Now, this was a dramatic change for Ben Bernanke, who's always been so nonplussed, so reluctant to encourage dramatic interest rate cuts out of concern for inflation. Now he's throwing caution to the wind and demanding immediate help. That means the fundamentals are really bad. Also on cue, of course, the president made a national speech last week promising a variety of stimulants without specifics, hoping to quell stock market jitters. It didn't work, as most economists knew it wouldn't. You can't just spend your way out of a mountain of bad debt, which is the core problem. You know, bad debt is bad debt and won't be redeemed for what investors paid for it, and that's why the Fed, in concert with other international banks, have been flooding the world with liquidity, allowing central banks to trade new money for packages of old debt at auction, and that's what they've been doing for the past 3 months. Now Congress agrees to grant over $150 billion in instant tax rebates to everyone who makes less than $75,000. Of course, this is more welfareism than rebates, since the people who pay the most taxes make much more than $75,000 per year, and they won't get the rebates. Worse, the Democrats insist that the rebates go even to those who paid no taxes, Dr. Stan. That means the most irresponsible part of the deal, of course, was that everyone involved in the meeting went in there with the assumption that this would be funded by deficit spending, no need to make any provisions for cutting spending or balancing the budget, and they didn't. So this is a totally irresponsible, pure move of just throw money at the problem. And no one seems to be bothered. I mean, it's incredible watching Nancy Pelosi, Senator Reid, and all the Republicans just nodding their head like, well, we've got to do something. We've got to save the country. Shows how much little respect they have for the limits of law and the Constitution. Now, of course, as you mentioned before, one of the key elements, structural elements, undergirding the economy are the bond markets. And the insurers of these bonds, you know, that's a very important market. In issuing bonds is to have them insured and rated. Several of the companies are now technically bankrupt. Those ratings have been downgraded, and the bailout is in the offing. As you reported, they've been heavily involved not only in bonds but in insuring derivatives, which is very scary. And as the AP reported, shares of bond insurers rose sharply on Thursday on hopes that the sector would receive a bailout, as the New York insurance regulators are trying to orchestrate. We talked about AmBac Financial Group. They're in trouble. Security Capital Assurance is in trouble. Assured Guarantee, all of their stock rose, even though it's fallen back again. Their ratings were down troubled. Only the most troubled, MBIA, fell. It's dropped 4% to a little over 4% in their stock.
Could you explain to our listeners about bonds and then about insuring the bonds with derivatives? Because I think maybe people are confused on that, and they don't understand why this is certainly like sitting on a keg of dynamite.
Well, the basic reason is that this is a real chancy thing to insure bonds. When you get to the level, let's face it, we've had very few, since the junk bond era, we've had very few defaults on bonds. And those bonds are junk rated anyway. And people pay a great deal of insurance to insure junk bonds. And that's why you've got to have very high profits in order to justify paying these companies insurance on those bonds in case they default. And a lot of this insurance, by the way, is paid for, you know, by the issuers of the bonds, so that they won't be liable for the default if they go under. And they've been making hand over fist because very few have failed since the junk bond era. But now, of course, the sheer volume of the bond market has gotten so big that it's even outpaced these bond insurers' ability to directly insure. And so they have leveraged what insurance funds that they have collected in premiums into the derivatives market so that they've bet the whole farm on the derivatives, hoping that this thing won't come true. And the problem with it, of course, if the bonds go down, the derivatives go down. And that's what these bond insurers have come up with.
In other words, the people who have issued the bonds, if they may be a municipality, they may not actually pay the amount of money they promised. If they're a corporation and they don't have any money and they can't borrow the money, they can't pay on the bonds, and so the people who wrote the derivatives have to make the payment. And, of course, what happens if they can't make the payment, as with ACA, well, they had about $400 million in assets, and they'd written $60 billion in derivatives. $60 billion, and of course, as the bond market began to collapse, there was no way they could pay it off, and they went into receivership. They went bankrupt, and then, of course, what happens to all the people who think that their bonds are AAA rated? They're no longer AAA rated because they no longer have any insurance on them, and suddenly you've got to sell them because now they're a AA or a single A, and your stipulation is if you are a hedge fund or a pension fund, you can't carry those, and so you've got to sell them. And, of course, when you're going to sell them, you're going to sell them in the market, but what happens if there's nobody there to buy them? What happens to the price? So pick the story up there, Joel.
Yeah, so essentially you try to hold on to them, really, rather than sell. And so they've locked they're no longer liquid anymore is the real problem. And that's why if they engineer this bailout, then people can bump the ratings up. Well, it's really kind of hard to bump the ratings up again, but at least they'll be sellable. Frankly, they are unsellable without any backup in any ratings as they are. So... nothing really significantly hit the markets until the plunge protection team intervened directly to prop up the market with massive purchases of future options on Tuesday and Wednesday. They spent billions and succeeded in dampening the fall on Tuesday and opened up a huge gain on Wednesday that continued on into today, Thursday, recouping much of their investment as they get other lemmings to come in and take the bait and start buying, and they can sell what they bought for a profit. So let's talk a little bit about the plunge protection team. Use of government money to intervene in private markets, of course, is totally unconstitutional. Perhaps this is one of the reasons why the powers that be, clear back in 1913, gave monetary creation powers to a private bank, which wouldn't be under the restrictions of the Constitution. However, that gifting of power to them was also unconstitutional. Now, the existence of direct government financial intervention has long been denied as a conspiracy theory. Now it's an open secret, although the government still does not admit to funneling money directly into the markets through participating Wall Street investment brokerages like Goldman Sachs and Solomon Brothers. But even the Washington Post did a puff piece on the plus protection team this week, officially calling the Working Group on Financial Markets, that's the real name of the plunge protection team, bringing it out of the closet. The Post says, of course, it's composed, and they painted this whole story, Dr. Stam, as if this was perfectly legal, this was perfectly upright. The team is composed of the Secretary of Treasury, the Chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, the Securities and Exchange Commission, and the Commodities Future Trading Commission. In addition, later on down the article, they mentioned it also contains additional members beyond the permanent members, head of the President's National Economic Council, the Chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors, Comptroller of the Currency, President of the New York Federal Reserve Bank, etc. But they failed to mention that it also includes ex officio members who are absolutely private brokerage houses like Goldman Sachs. And that's why we have Goldman Sachs heads and Solomon Brothers people coming in and serving as Secretary of the Treasury, as we do now have in Paulson. These are the people who actually have been given unlimited access to liquidity money to invest in option markets when they have to deal with a potential stock market crash. And the working group even has a computerized warning system to make sure the big boys are protected. They have a market surveillance unit tied to stock market computers. They monitor not only overall markets, says the Post article, but the cash positions of all major stock and commodity brokerage and large traders. Now, you have to ask, how do they get access to everyone's private bank account? But they've got them, apparently, because the regulators are hooked into what they call a hoot and holler system used to notify participants when they're going to halt trading. This allows, of course, the insiders to get out of their trades at the last minute.
And, of course, if you know the direction the market is going, you can make a lot of money. Of course, I would suggest that these people are dishonest, but then how do we know what they're doing and how they're benefiting from this? It's called the Working Group on Financial Matters. You can Google it in. The Working Group on Financial Matters, we call it the Plunge Protection Team, and they're manipulating the stock market. That's illegal. Well, of course, but then who are you going to report it to? To the president, who's authorized it? You're going to report it to the Treasury Department that's part and parcel of it? No, and I think some people are making fantastic sums of money at our expense. We'll be right back. We'll go right ahead, Joel.
Well, now for some specific evidence. I don't have the graph to show your audience, but Rick Ackerman has said, you know, we've never doubted there's a plunge protection team lurking out there somewhere ready to do battle with gravity, but until yesterday we were skeptical. The team would try something so unsubtle as buying stocks hand over fist and then selling panic with when a selling panic threatened. He said, what's the worst market watchers seem to think that the powers that be operate? And their conspiracy theory is not without merit. One reason it seems plausible is that with the backing of the U.S. Treasury and no margin requirements, the team could propagate an overwhelming rally risking relative small amounts. He said, this is shown in the S&P futures chart as a compelling picture as you will ever see of what traders refer to as, quote, strong hands intervening in the market. This is not, and what it shows, I'll just describe it visually what this chart is. You see the S&P futures on this chart. And it's just bobbling along and starting a downward decline. And all of a sudden, it drops clear down to the bottom and starts, I mean, there's no buying. It just drops clear down to the bottom. And then there's a straight level line of selling, a unique bid price, which he says there was a buyer at a 1255 bid, that is a monetary bid that was set in concrete. Fearlessly oblivious to the panic, the selling panics that had overwhelmed the world's markets for 2 days. The bid held for several hours, enough to exhaust sellers, as it was doubtlessly intended to do, causing the major averages to rally back to unchanged strength. Now, what this means is that someone dropped down and with a very large bid at such a low price that the sellers didn't want to go that low, and so they kept not trying to sell. In other words, you drop the margin down on these options so low that anyone trying to get out of that market just didn't want to go that low, and so it caused people to hold back their bids, and then eventually other people came in with higher bids and started the market back up again. It's kind of a little bit of a technical analysis, but it's in this week's World Affairs Brief, I've got the chart linked so that people can see how dramatic this is. Now let's go to a little bit of a long-term outlook, because it's very important to realize that it's not the these kinds of plunge protection things that really are what we have to deal with. Only if you're in the stock market, which I'm not, are you dealing with those things. But all of these short-term interventions in the futures markets are only effective in changing the psychology of investors from bearish to temporarily bullish. Now, this does play an essential role in keeping people active in the stock market. Since few stocks give dividends anymore, most investors only gain from appreciation in the stock price. And they're driven to invest in stocks and other high-yielding instruments precisely because interest rates are so low in savings accounts that people feel compelled to park their money elsewhere. Now, true inflation, now raging above 10%, is also driving people to search for higher returns. Bank accounts are really giving a little bit less than 1% best savings accounts give a little over 2%, and that's going to be going down. There's also trillions of dollars in retirement funds that are searching for productive returns, and a lot of people don't realize that their pensions are really at risk, and a lot of that money simply won't be there. They are ready to invest or to retire.
Hold that thought right there. We'll be right back. Okay, our guest is Joel Skousen, and Joel is talking about the pension funds, because a lot of these pension funds are underfunded, and then a lot of the pension funds are invested in the stock market, which sooner or later is going to go down, but even more than that, they're invested in hedge funds and other rather risky investments, some of them fairly high-paying, which is why they went into them. They may even be holding the bonds, the CDO bonds, or the bonds on the credit cards, or the bonds on the which are compiled from the auto loans. And those, of course, people are defaulting on them, so they're all going to drop in value. And when it comes time to retire, the pension fund's just not going to have the money.
Well, that's already happening in Florida, as I covered in previous World Affairs Brief. Florida has stopped its various municipalities from withdrawing any funds from the state investment pool because, frankly, they can't cover what they have, the assets that they're in there. If they have a run on this pool, they simply can't cover it. They've been investing in derivatives, and that value is not there. I am afraid that that's the next big shoe to drop is the derivatives. You know, no one's talking about these things defaulting, but there's got to be billions in derivatives that are based upon these debt packages and bets on the way the market is going that have got to be in default. And a lot of people are simply, if these things are not out in the open, it's going to be very easy for, you know, I think someday for them to say, all right, so-and-so is going under, and it's because of derivatives. But I'm surprised that nobody's mentioning these things. This is the big 800-pound gorilla that's hanging over this whole package.
And, of course, what people don't understand is the derivative market, apparently, grossly, is somewhere around $500 trillion. There's not that much money in the entire world.
Yeah, that's right. So this is a real problem. You know, people who live off their investments are obviously impacted. They're going to have less money to spend as these investments go down, less interest coming in. And those that don't need to spend, that are simply trying to build a nest egg, it may be disappearing before their eyes. They won't know it until they try to get it out. But it doesn't look good. In any case, it's the underlying debt problems that infest our economy and even the world economy. Good investments have been packaged along with bad investments to make them a little more saleable. In reality, this practice only compromises the good investments. Because they're package deals and the bad compromises the good. Even debt rating firms have been complicit in falsifying the values of these debt packages. And major brokerage firms had misrepresented the values as well when they were marketed. So besides the legal liability for this investment fraud, which may never be sorted out except for the major players, the problem is that the money is gone. It has been spent. And what's worse is that derivative bets have been formed on these debt packages and those liabilities, as you say, run into the trillions, perhaps as many as 500 trillion, almost an incomprehensible number. Now, what the financial powers that be are trying to do is to make sure enough liquidity is injected so the institutions responsible for paying out the interest on these debt instruments can stay solvent. As long as the interest keeps flowing, the powers to be hope to keep the house of cards from coming down, and that's why they keep working to keep foreclosures to a minimum. Because once it goes into foreclosure, there's no interest being paid. In short, if the Fed continues to bail out these with huge sums, those invested in packaged debt instruments, the money will continue to flow downhill into the U.S. economy, and then it can continue to fuel spending. There will be job dislocations as companies scramble to remain profitable. So as long as the government's inflating the currency, new investment will slowly adjust and create new jobs if they can stabilize things over time. Now, ordinarily, the government would not be able to do this without creating hyperinflation. But it still can for a while longer since, as I explained, holders of dollars are held hostage to the magnitude of the dollar dominance. Even with this massive creation of new money, the dollar market is so large that its negative impact is still only moderate. You know, our government, in fact, has lost track of how many trillions of dollars are out there in the international marketplace. Nobody knows for sure, but it's a whopping big number. And that largeness helps them to hide, as it has been for years, to hide the monetary creation that they've done.
And, of course, if those dollars ever come home, why, heaven help us. Well, our guest, of course, is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. We're talking about what's happening on the financial markets, and I don't think most people have any grasp of really what serious trouble we're in. But I think that, at least as far as our listeners are concerned, we hope we can guide them to the point where they're going to just stop spending money, start saving money, get out of debt as much as they can, prepare for very, very difficult times, because an awful lot of people are going to lose their jobs before this is over. And, of course, usually we have both the husband and wife working. But, of course, if you've got the debt obligations and you can't pay them, then what happens? Then we'll be back in just a moment with Joel. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course one of the things we see is that so many of the major corporations, specifically the home building, has laid off probably somewhere between 1 million and 2 million people, and the financial services are laying off large numbers of people, you know, trying to get back into some sort of semblance of balance so they can at least pay some of their bills. And as more and more people lose their jobs, there's going to be, of course, less and less spending, you know, and, of course, this begins to impact upon the whole basis of our gross domestic product, because it's 75% is based upon people buying things. Will you pick up the story there, Joel?
Well, I think the biggest impact is the fact that almost all of these people have houses that they've committed to with mortgages, and they're the ones that are having those houses foreclosed on. So it's the job dislocation that's driving the foreclosure market. I would say less than 20% of foreclosures are based upon people simply having got too tight into a mortgage and just not barely being able to make the payment. Most of these people have just flat been laid off and they can't make their payments and they've had no savings. Not to mention the fact that they have a lot of credit card debt. Most people are just too much dependent on these job assurances they've had, and those things are starting to go down. Nevertheless, inflation still is, I'm warning, the major result of this. This will ultimately be inflationary. This much money pouring back into the economy. Still take a while for people to start buying houses again, but if you have to remember that actually the housing market is not dead. The housing market's down about 20 to 30%, which is a very, very large amount, but still there's a lot of homes being built still and sold. It's still possible for them to engineer an inflationary landing on this. What's happening on the national front is that the sovereign wealth funds, which are the large blocks of dollar-denominated reserves that foreign countries have put into special wealth funds, they're in there buying up as many U.S. corporations as they can, investing in banks and troubled establishment investment houses, as we've discussed on previous shows. Chinese and Arab managed funds have purchased giant equity stakes in large crippled banks, and so this is going to continue, I think, as people who hold large blocks of dollars can't sell them on the open market. A lot of people ask, well, why don't they put them into euros, which are increasing so much? The problem with it is there aren't anywhere near enough euros. You know, the euros...
Hold that thought right there, Joel. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Joel Skousen of World Affairs Brief. And before we go on with the discussion, I'm going to ask Joel to tell our listeners how they can get a copy of his weekly commentary. Now, of course, you can go to his website every day, which I do after I finish my emails. That's World Affairs Brief. And read all of the articles they have posted there, summaries of them. And then those that I'm interested in, I pull down and copy and keep on file. But every week, why, Joel puts out a commentary. Then it's maybe 6 or 8 or 10 pages long. And so how could people get copies of that?
Well, they can get a sample copy of the World Affairs Brief, for which there's normally a subscription price. It's very modest for this weekly news analysis that I do, but they can get sample copies if they want to decide to subscribe or not by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. That's editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. Lots of other free things on the website. My research staff puts up all the major stories, the best ones that they cull through on the website, so it saves people a lot of surfing through the net to get the stories that have been pre-sorted by my staff as the best of the establishment sources. Of course, that's what I analyze at the end of each week to add the information that I have that are left out of the establishment news articles that makes it so crucial for people to understand these things. So the very interesting story that one of my researchers picked up, it's a review, a detailed history of how the Fed got us into all this mess by F. William Engdahl. It's a fascinating look how the powers that be have used oil shocks and stock market crashes in the past to generate new predatory instruments of investment, like derivatives, which basically is an outgrowth of the 1987 stock crash. Mostly that accrues to the benefit of insider traders and to the benefit of controlling third world countries in South America, Africa, and the Middle East. He talks about the coercion on the Saudis when they got oil. You know, they basically threatened them with being overthrown if they didn't play ball with the establishment. Now, I don't usually quote Engdahl because of his former relationship with Lyndon LaRouche. Lyndon LaRouche is the Marxist from claimed to be some sort of anti-globalist conservative, but he's really got some bizarre left-wing thinking. But since his break with LaRouche, Engdahl's done quite a bit of good research on... it still comes from a leftist perspective of seeing all capitalists as evil, but he's especially been focusing on Monsanto and the others for genetically modifying crops and what their intentions are, as well as these financial things. But they can find that article by Engdahl at financialsense.com, www.financialsense.com. It is a fascinating read, even if a little long, for those that are really interested in it. Now, government spending, of course, is going into overdrive, notwithstanding our problems. The military is going to be presenting one of the greatest, largest budgets they've ever done. And that's because they're trying to increase the military by 92,000 troops over the next 5 years, an estimated increased cost of $1.2 billion per 10,000 troops. So you can imagine what that's going to cost. Also, the problem is in Afghanistan and Iraq, we've been using up our war machinery for the past 5 years, and it's worn out, including all the machinery of the National Guard. None of that's being replaced, and frankly, we've got a big hole that the United States has dug themselves into. And they're still talking about going to war with Iran, which is going to be even more problematic. So, as I say, there's no way, as the Comptroller General said to Glenn Beck, that we can grow our way out of these. By the way, he said in that interview, which was very interesting, that the total national debt now, including all obligations, is $53 trillion. That amounts, Dr. Stan, to $440,000 for every family in the United States. Now, that should be obvious by those numbers, that there's no way that that's ever going to get paid off. You can't grow yourself out of that. Maybe you can inflate it away, but then that destroys the middle class of America as well. So I believe that this fortifies my theory that they do not ever intend to pay this off. The reason they're spending with abandon is that they know that they are bringing the world to the brink of a third world war through constant intervention, and that world war, which will target the United States with a preemptive nuclear strike, will in fact destroy all of our markets in one fell swoop. The United States could walk away and say, we have no military, we have no financial strength or markets, and so we'll have to rely on the United Nations to save us. And that's how they'll get the United States fully into a new world order, in my opinion.
Well, I certainly think that the war is coming, and I think that the ultimate goal is exactly as you say. They want a world government. And what people really don't understand is our State Department and both political parties are controlled by CFR globalists whose dedication is to establishing this one world government, this one world religion.
Absolutely. You know, and David Walker, the Comptroller General, said, you know, what was most irresponsible about the acts of Congress in the last decade is Congress debating and then passing a 10-year, with only talking about the 10-year cost of the program, is the prescription drug program. And now they have a price tag on that of over $8 trillion. Dan, I've got something I've got to do for just a second. Can you handle it?
Oh, I certainly can. You go right ahead, and of course, I'll try to fill in until Joel gets back. But those of you who, of course, don't know who David Walker, he is the Comptroller General of the United States, and of course, he's with the GAO, the General Accounting Office, and they're the ones, of course, that, you know, really look after our finances. You can go up on the internet and Google him in. David Walker, and certainly we recommend, he has a wonderful interview with CBS. It was about a year and a half ago, CBS 60 Minutes, and if you don't have access to that, we'll be glad to send it to you. But we really believe that he's absolutely right. He's been trying to warn the American people that we have this massive debt, and it's going to come about because starting in January of this year, why, of course, baby boomers are going to begin retiring at 62. And then, of course, in 3 years from now, they'll be eligible for Medicare. And there is no Social Security fund. When they tell you there's a Social Security fund, you know, they're lying to you. What you have is a lot of IOUs from our government that has no money. The government has no money other than what it takes from us by taxation. What it, of course, produces by printing presses and inflating away the value of our currency, and then what it can borrow from other countries. And today we are having to borrow over $2.5 billion every single day to meet our debts. We have no reserves in America, and of course there is no Social Security reserves. And we've stolen money from the highway fund, we've stolen money from the Medicare fund, and then they authorized, of course, the Medicare drug program, which is going to cost $6-7 trillion, and there's no money to pay for it. And so we are in very, very real trouble financially, but they don't want the American people. It's sort of like, you know, in the slaughter yard, you never want the cows to basically panic as they're being led down the long, narrow pathway to their slaughter. And that's exactly what's happening to the American people. Everything, you know, that anybody who tries to tell them what's going on is accused of being a conspiracy theorist, but there is nothing behind our money. And of course, every fiat money system has always gone to its ultimate value, which is zero. And it's only a matter of time before our currency is destroyed, as we see happening in Zimbabwe today, as we saw happening in Argentina about 5 years ago, when the people there believed what their politicians told them. And that is, of course, you didn't have to sell your pesos and go into the dollar, because the peso was tied to the dollar, and it would remain that way, and it was strong, and there was nothing to worry about. And lo and behold, they woke up one morning to find out that all the banks were closed and their pesos had lost two-thirds of the value that they'd had the day before. And these people were impoverished in Argentina, those, of course, who had their money in pesos. And, of course, a lot of people in Europe had been sold Argentine loans. And of course, what happened was that Argentina just defaulted on their international loans, and many of the pensioners over in Italy and Spain who had bought these Argentine bonds, guaranteed payment. And suddenly, what did they find? Why, Argentina defaulted, and they were off given an opportunity of taking 25 cents on the dollar or nothing. Well, most of them took the 25 cents on the dollar.
You know, speaking of that, Dr. Stan, one of the things that the other governments don't have the opportunity to do is to do unlimited inflation like our government seems to have. Since their currency is not a reserve currency, anything that Argentina would print, which they did print with abandon, even up to 1,000% inflation, stayed right there at home and inflated prices. The U.S. has had the advantage over these years of being able to export that inflation into the international reserve currency, which was the dollar. And if that ever, stops, and it's hard, it's very difficult to start to stop. You know, even Iran tried to do a bourse for oil in euros, and so did the Norwegians. That was over 2 years ago, and neither one of those bourses have ever materialized, and that shows you how much power the U.S. government has to convince other oil trading parties that you'd better not participate in this or you're going to lose the protection of the United States government. Ultimately, it's that protection racket that is the only superpower that keeps these allies in line and keeps them from patronizing another monetary system.
I agree with you totally. And, of course, have you ever read that book by John Perkins on Confessions of an Economic Hitman?
I have, and frankly, I have some reservations about it. I think much of it's true, but I think he goes too far in some of his claims. And he certainly doesn't go far enough. For a person who's that deep in on site, he's certainly seemingly silent about some of the other things an insider like that should know about.
Well, of course, I've talked to him a number of times. I think that he's really does not understand a lot of what's going on, but some of the things he writes about I think are absolutely true. But he, as you say, there's a lot of things he doesn't understand about who's really pulling the strings. Well, why don't you get back to, go ahead.
Yeah, he concentrates, of course, on the U.S. establishment's use of the financial leverage of debilitating or with loans all of the and getting them hooked, these South American countries in particular, on these loans, and then controlling them by making them indebted. And, of course, half of that's the problem of these socialist governments in Latin America. They were stupid enough to continue to get these loans because they needed it. They didn't have the tax revenue to justify the kinds of things they could corrupt the voters with. Benefit corruption takes money to provide benefits for them, and you don't have enough tax revenue, and they've been inflating their currency as much as they can, and here the government, the United States, comes along with the offering of hundreds of millions of dollars, dwarfing their little economy with money, and they take it up and get hooked. And so he's absolutely correct about that, but he certainly is missing a great deal of the bigger picture of how these powers to be are not just predators for money. There's a much bigger agenda, a globalist agenda, in terms of control of the world. As you have so eloquently pointed out in your book, Brotherhood of Darkness, it's also a satanic conspiracy as well.
Well, Chris, I had to bite my tongue a little bit when I talked to John. I think he's a nice man, but I agree with you. This part of it, he really doesn't understand. In fact, he identifies himself with some of the very occult organizations. But he doesn't understand the spiritual implications of what he was talking about. So go right ahead, Joel.
Well, switching topics now, it was very interesting to see that in the wake of President Bush's tour of the Middle East, where he lost no opportunity to bash Iran, calling it the greatest threat the United States is likely to face, in the final years of this administration, Gates wasn't going along with the rhetoric. He was being interviewed by Steve Inskeep and referred to Iran merely as a challenge. Of course, Steve Inskeep being, knowing what the globalist agenda and being one of the major media personalities, said, now there's a reason you describe this as a challenge rather than a threat. And Gates said, well, when I think of a threat, I think of a direct military threat. And while the jury's out in terms of whether or not they have eased up on their support to those opposing us in Iraq, I don't see the Iranians in the near term as a direct military threat to the United States. This just floored me when I heard that. Here is Robert Gates saying, I don't see the Iranians in the near term as a direct military threat to the United States. Absolutely true. No threat at all to the United States.
Well, of course, this is not what the president is saying. Here's the Secretary of Defense saying one thing, and the president is saying, Iran is a threat. It's a threat not only to the whole world. That's why the whole world's got to unite against him.
Well, I bet Gates got called on the carpet for that remark. So. Well, know, there's more going on in the Sybil Edmonds case, as your listeners may know. This is the FBI whistleblower who was working as a Turkish translator for the FBI and heard all kinds of stuff being covered up by FBI agents, stuff that was very, very important about between Turkey and Israel and trying to bribe American officials for nuclear secrets, et cetera. And she's had several FBI people who have subsequently resigned because they were backing up what Sybil Edmonds had said. And her story was recently published after, you know, 5 years of silence. She's finally got it published in the Sunday Times in England, and it hasn't been picked up in the major media in the United States. It's a very dark picture of the U.S. dealing in black markets all over the world for nuclear technology. All the while, they're claiming, you know, that Iran and North Korea are arch enemies for their nuclear use, and the U.S. itself is implicated in this. One of the documents relating to the case was the subject of a Freedom of Information Act, and the FBI responded to the request by claiming that the document did not exist. And now the Sunday Times has obtained the document through Sybil Edmonds, showing that the proves conclusively that the FBI officials know of the existence of this document, for they've got a memo where they make reference to it, and they're claiming it doesn't exist. This is very typical of government using secrecy to hide wrongdoing rather than because they're afraid our enemies might find out about it.
Well, of course, I mean, I think the significance of this story is that there was a spy ring, and of course it involved both Turkey and Israel, and it had agents in the State Department, and it had agents in the Pentagon, and they were shipping nuclear supplies and nuclear technology to Pakistan, and people at the highest levels of our government knew it, and that is why they silenced Sybil Edmonds. They did not want the American people to know that, in essence, we had given Pakistan the ability to build a nuclear bomb. And why would we, when we're talking about how we're trying to prevent, you know, other countries from getting nuclear weapons, why would they have intentionally allowed the transfer of nuclear technology and supplies to Pakistan unless maybe, well, of course, maybe we're looking forward to a nuclear war with the Muslim world? You go right ahead, Joel.
Well, my theory is that Edmonds happened upon what was really going on with a double agent situation. In other words, she heard, you know, and translated with her other friends the one side of the conversation, which made it look like the people in the United States government were taking bribes on behalf of someone else, rogue agents, so to speak, and wondering why the government is covering up. But often, as is the case, these rogue agents are not rogue agents at all within our own government. They're not spies. They're not people who compromise. They're acting under black operations to purposely do it. And all of this is sometimes a cover-up so that if found, they can be prosecuted as rogue agents and the U.S. government has plausible deniability. So these things are very, very complex to really analyze, and surely she has only part of the story. She is on to something, of course, because the government is busy covering it up and has dismissed the FBI agents who had corroborated her testimony. We may never know the full story in these things, but one thing I know is that it is disinformation that the U.S. was intending to supply nuclear technology to North Korea. There's no such need to do that. That little piece of disinformation was slipped in there, not the fault of Sybil Edmonds. But this is a standard procedure in the U.S. government to cover for Russia and China, who are actually the ones working with North Korea as their surrogate. This cover allows North Korea or allows China and Russia to act as if they're our allies in trying to get North Korea to stop and dismantle their nuclear program. You know, all of the breakthroughs that the government claims to have made through negotiator Christopher Hill, claiming that North Korea had agreed to abandon its program by the end of December. Of course, that's gone and passed, and now all of a sudden Kim Jong-il of North Korea is cutting off all relations with South Korea now that they've elected a conservative and the leftist government is gone. Nevertheless, the Voice of America admits, quote, the U.S. government says there's no new deadline for North Korea to deliver a full accounting of its nuclear programs. And a State Department official says basically that North Korea failed its deadline, and yet Washington neither presses for sanctions nor threatens an invasion as they are doing in Iran. Something's wrong with this picture.
No question at all. But we do know that Pakistan, or apparently Pakistan, does have nuclear weapons, and of course, how are they able to do that? Hey, we're out of time, Joel. But thank you so very much, and we'll look forward to talking to you, I guess it will be tomorrow morning at early
right.
morning.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And we'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up today's program. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Somebody had called in and had asked the question, what will inflation do to the price of gold? And of course, today, gold hit an all-time high here in the United States of $919. And silver, of course, was up to $1,630. That's the highest it's been, going back to the 1980 period. But, of course, the inflation is going to drive up the price of precious metals. And, of course, it's going to destroy the value of our currency and our pension funds and our insurance policies and everything else is tied to the dollar. So be aware, and, of course, if you've not yet heard my talk on the financial tsunami, let me suggest that you get it. There's a syllabus with that. That's a DVD on the financial tsunami. We have two pamphlets. One is called Financial Armageddon. The other is called The History of Money. They're about five of my newsletters, and each one a compilation of history that will help you to understand what's going on. And then we recommend the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, and The Fiat Money Inflation in France. Three excellent books we carry on gold, pardon me, on finances. We do have also Professor Sutton's book, Gold for Investment and Gold for Survival. So if you'd like to go to our website, you can see the various items we have, or give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We also have a four-tape set on the Financial Armageddon, which is a compilation of my talks with people that we think understand what's going on today, because the average person really doesn't understand, and because of that, the average person is going to end up living in poverty, and a lot of people are going to lose their homes, they're going to lose their cars, or they're going to lose their jobs, and this is exactly what happened during the 1930s, and certainly Harry Schultz and James Dines, that I've followed both of them for many, many years, and both of them say we'll be in a depression within a year, and I really believe that's true. We'll have to wait and see. I'm not a financial advisor. But, of course, I believe I have an understanding of the spiritual forces behind this. If you have not yet heard my talk on the forbidden secret, that's the forbidden secret. There is a secret that has been passed down for 5,000 years through the secret societies and the mystery religions. And, of course, this was never revealed publicly for fear, of course, if you did reveal it publicly, you'd be burned at the stake. Well, we tell you what that secret is and, of course, how this fits into what's going on today. That's the forbidden secret. There's a syllabus with it. And, of course, we will go into the background of the reference that President Bush made in his first inaugural address, not once but twice, to the angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs his storm. The angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs his storm. Who is the angel who is directing the storm today, as President Bush said? And of course, we've reduplicated his inaugural addresses, both the first one and the second one. There's a great deal of information there. And understand, we are fighting today in Iraq, not, you know, for the freedom of the Iraqi people, certainly not Israel's in more jeopardy than they were before. Certainly not for the oil, although certainly the oil is a nice little side benefit. Certainly not to preserve the dollar, but because we are actually planning on having a one-world government. That's the purpose of America's foreign policy. A new world order, a new world religion, and a new world leader. That's the common denominator behind everything going on today. We're planning on keeping our troops indefinitely in Iraq, where our troops are not being allowed to win the war. This is a no-win war, just like Korea was a no-win war, and Vietnam was a no-win war, and Iraq is a no-win war. And you'll certainly want to get our December newsletter, which is simply an analysis of a speech given by Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez, who led the coalition forces in Iraq from June of 2003 to June of 2004, and I bet you've never read his speech. Well, we have his speech at the December newsletter, and if you want to request it, it'll be going out. We hope you'll want to subscribe to Radio Liberty. We hope you'll want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us as we reach out 5 hours every day throughout the world, trying to educate people about the spiritual battle in which we're engaged. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
News on the Information Radio Network. I'm Greg Moore. Correspondent John Belmont reports sales of previously owned homes fell again last month.
For December alone, they were down more than 2%, but the real story here is the entire year. The National Association of Realtors says sales of previously owned homes plunged an unlucky 13%, falling more in 2007 than at any other time since the recession year of 1982. Also, the price of a typical home actually dropped for an entire year for the first time in decades, the median price off 1.8% to $217,000. The realtor's chief economist expects sales to start to bounce back in the spring.
Marine Corporal Cesar Lauren is officially charged with first-degree murder in the death of a pregnant colleague, but prosecutors in North Carolina say they won't seek the death penalty against him if he is arrested in Mexico because of an extradition understanding. This is IRN.
How's your money?
What's it do you?
Is it safe?
Who wants to know?
Can you even keep what you've got?
You're a pretty nosy smart piece, ain't you?
Have you got enough money?
Yeah, right.
Thought-provoking questions, aren't they? But we need the answers, and we need them fast. You can find those answers by reading The New Economic Disorder by economist Larry Bates. Dr. Bates explains in no uncertain terms how government and financial insiders are controlling your money, working to make all of us equal. Equally poor. The New Economic Disorder is a startling expose of the coming financial wipeout. Its frank everyday language is easy to understand and will change the way you look at investments, even the way you look at money. This bestseller explains how to be on the receiving end of the upcoming inevitable transfer of wealth. Your copy of The New Economic Disorder is waiting for you now for only $9.95 by calling 1-800-336-7000. That's 1-800-336-7000. Better hurry, though. The midnight hour is fast approaching.
He ain't kidding.
Democratic and Republican congressional leaders have apparently come to terms on a tentative deal involving tax rebates and business tax cuts designed to give the economy a shove. Aides say the rebate part of the plan would cost about $100 billion and give refunds of $300 to $1,200 per household. Republican John McCain may have the best chance to beat either one of the two Democratic frontrunners for the White House in the fall. A new Los Angeles Times poll shows McCain even with Barack Obama and just 4 points behind Hillary Clinton. Clinton and Obama each lead the other GOP contenders by more than 10 points in the survey. The poll also finds about two-thirds of the Democrats surveyed say they are locked in on a candidate. Only about half of the Republicans are certain. Hillary Clinton says the tension between her and presidential rival Barack Obama will end once the Democratic nomination is finalized. For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNnews.com.
Is life moving too fast? If you're self-employed or a small business owner, you have no choice but to move as fast as you can. Sometimes you move so fast you don't take a close look at life's details. When was the last time you looked at your health insurance? If you don't have health insurance or if you have the wrong coverage, serious medical bills could mount up. That's where the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company comes in.
Call 877-735-6968. That's 877-735-6968.
The British government is proposing some new laws to get tougher on terrorism. Home Secretary Jackie Smith says she wants police to be able to hold terror suspects longer without charging them. She's proposing a plan that would increase the limit for detaining suspects without charge from 28 to 42 days. She also wants to make it legal for police to take DNA samples from suspects. Many people object to proposals that increase the maximum time terror suspects can be detained, including human rights groups. Only 34 labor lawmakers would need to vote against the measure to defeat it. The head of the EPA is defending his decision not to let California and more than a dozen other states impose vehicle emissions rules. EPA Administrator Stephen Johnson is under fire for denying waivers that would have let the states mandate greenhouse gas reductions on cars and trucks. Johnson says he determined that California did not meet the criteria to obtain the waiver, which is needed under the Clean Air Act. Johnson says he's bound by criteria in the Act, not by people's opinions, and that the Act does not require him to, quote, rubber stamp waiver decisions. California Democratic Senator Barbara Boxer, meanwhile, is accusing Johnson of going against the mission of his own agency to fulfill that of, quote, some special interests. Johnson disputes suggestions that he made his decisions under political pressure from the White House, saying it's better to have a single standard for greenhouse gas emissions than to have different rules in different states. I'm Greg Moore. That's news from the Information Radio Network.
This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open-line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988.
And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
It's America's spiritual health chart. 86% of us believe in God, but 91% of us lie regularly. Only 28% believe the Bible should be taken literally. As far as our morality goes, 78% believe we have severe moral decline, yet 96% of Americans believe they're doing a good job in teaching children moral values, and only 11% believe their life or ways have anything to do with America's moral decline. As far as our families go, we have the highest divorce rate in the world, 48 million children murdered by abortion since 1973. 37% of all our kids are born illegitimate, and cohabitation has increased well over 1,000% since 1960 and 72% since 1990. Do we have peace in our country? Well, some say we're the most violent of all industrialized.
Day will not come except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin may be revealed. This very day, I was completing the editing of a new book, or at least the first half of a new book, The Seduction of the Saints, talking about how to identify and avoid end-time deception. You're not going to want to miss that book when it comes out, friends, but we are seeing the fulfillment at every single level of the events that were foretold by the ancient prophets, by Jesus Christ himself, and by his apostles. In 1 Thessalonians 5, the great apostle Paul says, that but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. So let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love for an helmet and the hope of salvation, for God has not appointed us to wrath. Now, the us there is talking about those who not only make a confession of faith, but who live that out in righteousness and in holiness. In other words, whose life displays and depicts the truth or veracity of their so-called conversion to Christ. He says that group of people, the day of the Lord shouldn't come on you by surprise. You should be able to see it. He says, you're children of the light, children of the day. We're not of the night nor of darkness, so let us not sleep as do others, but let's watch and be sober. Now that's one of the reasons, one of the main reasons why we talk about prophecy here on this program. So that you will be brought to an acute awareness and you will not go to sleep. You'll be sober. You will be alert. You'll be a watchman. You see, a watchman is always alert. And a watchman is called for in times of great risk, when the enemy is there to attack. And the watchman who goes to sleep on the job in times of war may suffer the penalty with his life. Friends, there are many people, children, grandchildren, people in the pews of pastors' churches who are going to lose their place because their pastor, for instance, went to sleep as a watchman, didn't warn, didn't keep them awake, didn't keep them sober, didn't advise them of what was coming, and they fell asleep. There, as Jesus told that parable about the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins, and the five foolish ones, you see, they all professed to be part of the wedding party, but they didn't have their lamps trimmed. They weren't ready when the time came. An awful lot of people are not going to be ready. And that's why regularly here on this program, we play that little excerpt, people get ready. Jesus is coming. Soon we'll be coming home. We don't know what soon means. We don't know whether it means the next year or the next 5 years or the next 25 years. We don't know. But we are told to understand the season so it would not take us unawares as it will take the rest of the world unawares. But the majority are going to be taken unawares. They just are. They're too sold out to the temporal, like Esau, you see, who was willing to sell his soul for a mess of pottage. The majority of Christians today, I fear, are sold out to the culture. They're sold out to the world. They're sold out to the ways of this world, and therefore are so locked into a spirit of compromise. Their spirits are dulled. They don't have oil in their lamps. They're relying upon yesterday's experience. And quite frankly, they're not ready. They're not going to be ready, and they're going to be taken by surprise. Don't let it happen to you. Be a watchman, all right? Watch and pray, lest you not enter into the temptation. Now, today on Viewpoint, we're going to take a look at a whole series of items of information that have come from around the world. We'll start here with the Telegraph in the UK. NATO must prepare to launch a nuclear attack. Now, one of the themes that we're going to see today is the increasing talk of nuclear attack. First of all, it's coming from Russia. Now, after that, it's coming from NATO. NATO must prepare to launch preemptive nuclear attacks to ward off the use of weapons of mass destruction by its enemies, a group of former senior military officials has warned. The risk of further proliferation is imminent, and with it the danger that nuclear war fighting, albeit limited in scope, might become possible, the report said. In the very same report, five generals, one from the U.S. and from France and from Germany and I believe Britain and the Netherlands, agreed that Europe and the United States need to begin to develop a joint military force together. That comes, as we reported earlier this week, on the heels of the report that the EU and the USA are preparing to merge within 15 years. You can begin to see the dramatic maneuvers then that are taking place worldwide. And as we couch it in those words, we go from here to Russia. What might we find in Russia? We'll be right back.
Did you hear about the latest study from a Duke University sociologist? It's called Social Isolation in America, and it's been the talk of columnists and news articles everywhere. As one columnist wrote, the story could just as well have been called Friendless in America. One-fourth of all Americans admit they have no one to talk with about important matters. Another quarter say they have only one friend. What's missing? What's missing is good old-fashioned hospitality. Our hyper-individualism is actually killing us. That's why Chuck and Kathy Chrismeyer's recent book, The Power of Hospitality, is so important for you and all of us, even our churches. When 70% of pastors admit they have no friends, we're in trouble. So get your copy of The Power of Hospitality today for your gift of $16 to Save America Ministries. Call 1-800-SAVE-USA. The Power of Hospitality will change your life. Call 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to help solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-584-1095.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. They don't go away on their own. The IRS can attach your wages, your pension, your savings, even your Social Security check. Over the past decade, the tax team at J.K. Harris has successfully negotiated settlements for our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-584-1095. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-584-1095. That's 800-584-1095.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. It's Dialogue That Demands Our Decision as we look today at the rapid developments worldwide, not only concerning nuclear threat, but also Russia's role. We open today's program reading from Ezekiel 38, talking about this prophetic conspiracy of nations, including Gog and Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, Persia, which is Iran, Libya, Gomer, Togarma, and many other nations with them, that will, in the end of the age, in the latter days, Ezekiel says, think an evil thought. And that evil thought is going to be to come and attack Israel when she seems to be at relative peace for the purpose of taking a spoil. Now, we've talked about this matter of the spoil before, and I have a personal conviction, and I can't say it's a thus saith the Lord, but I have a personal conviction that that spoil is black gold. Oil. Oil. Black gold. And we're seeing, with ever-increasing frequency around the world, that indeed that is the thing, the one thing that seems to be galvanizing the nations, galvanizing Russia, galvanizing China, galvanizing the Middle East, galvanizing the United States, galvanizing the European Union. Oil. Everybody is grasping for oil. Then comes this report from the Voice of America. Resurgent Russia sees oil as a weapon. In the past 2 years, a resurgent Russia has taken steps that some analysts consider using oil as a weapon. The question that experts and government officials ask is how the West should respond. Some advocate a patient approach, while others urge confrontation. The Friendship Oil Pipeline keeps Russia economically connected to many of its former satellite Soviet states and Western Europe. The pipeline supplies Germany with a large percentage of its natural gas. Now, there are many authorities, experts, who believe that Gomer, mentioned in Ezekiel 38, is in fact the Germanic tribes. And that would include Germany. Who would have ever believed that Germany, that had separated itself from the Soviet power, East Germany, remember when President Reagan stood there and he said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear this wall down. When the wall came down and East and West Germany were united in one democratic state and everything seemed wonderful, everything seemed cool. Russia would never again have import there, and Germany would rise again to its place of strength and prominence in Europe. Who would have ever dreamed that Germany would go back to bed with Russia? Who would have ever, in their wildest imagination, have dreamed such a thing? Well, there are a lot of things that are taking place right now that people in their wildest imaginations, including politicians in America and in Europe, around the world, would never have dreamed could have taken place. We'll talk about several of them here today on Viewpoint. And one of those is that Germany now is playing footsie with Russia. What is it that brings them together as common bedfellows? You guessed it. Black oil. Black gold. Oil. And so the company that operates the pipeline in Germany says that Russia is a good and reliable business partner. Well, hey, when you're getting a third of all of your power, perhaps a much larger percentage than that, from Russia, you got to be nice to her. You might just have to play footsie. You might have to play politics. You might have to... Well, you might just have to compromise in order to keep the oil flowing. According to one leader, states broke down, political systems changed, but not the contracts between Russia and Germany. The gas went the way it had all the time without any interruption. That was not the experience of the Ukraine and Belarus, however. Since 2006, Russia has temporarily cut off energy supplies to each of those countries at least once over price disputes and has threatened more action. Vladimir Milov, president of the Moscow Energy Policy Institute, says Russia has been using energy to punish former Soviet states. The use of energy as a political weapon in recent years is a banal way to deal with dissenting countries Russia would like to keep in its orbit of foreign influence, but cannot, said Milov. With Russia's growing economic power, Western governments have expressed concern about Russian government policies, and rightly so. Alex Alexeyev, with the Center for Security Policy in Washington, says the U.S. and Europe must stand up to what he calls Russian economic aggression. Business has to be reciprocal, he said. The Russians increasingly limit the ability of Western companies to function on a private enterprise basis in Russia, but they want to have access to our markets on an unlimited, essentially free market basis, he said. Alexander Rahr, with the German Council on Foreign Relations, says that Europe is looking to the energy-rich Caspian Sea region for alternatives to Russian oil and gas. About European energy, the code word, he said, is diversification. But Rahr says in the long run, Russia is our friend. They need us to help contain China, which will become hostile. Now, I want to bring your attention to a program we did last week dealing with the four principal countries around which our world is, you could say, reeling today. One of those is Russia. One is China. One is America. And the other is Israel. These are the four big countries. And oil is involved at every level. Sometimes it's hidden. And you wouldn't realize it by listening to the talk, because nobody really wants to make it appear that it's oil that they're after. But that's really the prize, my friend. That's the spoil that they're all after. Why? Because as Rush Limbaugh has said just this week, we have to have our oil to keep American growth. He said, we will not buy into alternative energy. We must have oil. Friends, that's the thinking of the leaders in China. That's the thinking of the leaders in Russia. That's the thinking of the leaders in America. And Israel is caught in the middle. Caught in the middle. Little tiny Israel caught in the middle. And what if? What if there should be a massive discovery of oil in little Israel? Right now, there's an Israeli company and a Christian Gentile Zionist company, both of them drilling for oil in Israel. One believes from the scriptures that God has promised oil. There will be a final great blessing to Israel. But it will draw the rest of the nations like a magnet. Especially Russia and China. And then the European Union merged with America. With its economic and military merging. The West against the North and the East. The very portrayal of players that are demonstrated in the book of Daniel and Revelation. It's right before us, my friends. Still, the experts say whether the West becomes more confrontational or collaborative with Russia, the tone of the relationship seems to have changed from friendship to adversary. Indeed, it's very adversary. In fact, you may have been hearing about the adversarial relationship between Russia and Britain. It's very intense. The old Soviet Union is back. British jets scrambled as Russian bombers joined war maneuvers off the Atlantic coast there near Britain. The old Soviet Union is back, maybe not in name, but certainly in strength and intention, writes one from the UK. The Russia's Atlantic military exercises follow the resumption of regular missions by its long-range nuclear bombers last summer after a gap of many years. Russian military officials issued a statement saying this is the biggest exercise of its kind in the area since Soviet times. The Air Force is taking a very active part in the exercises of the Navy's strike force in the Atlantic. But that's not all. Russia is right now placing a huge naval base in the Mediterranean, just above Israel. Russia wants to be able to control the Mediterranean. Friends, the Russian bear is rising on his hind legs, getting ready to roar and to reach out those claws to grab a spoil for oil. At the same time, this report comes nuclear weapons use justified in Russia's aggressive remarks. It was a general, Yuri Believsky. He said nuclear weapons could be used in preventative attack. Russia's military chief of staff said just last Saturday that Moscow could use nuclear weapons in preventative strikes to protect itself and its allies, the latest aggressive remarks from increasingly assertive Russian authorities. I told you, they're raising up on their hind legs, fueled by the intense prosperity that has come from oil. Meant as a warning that Russia is prepared to use its nuclear might. Where is it all heading? Friends, we're living in some very tumultuous times. There have been massive natural disasters in this country over the past 15 years. In addition to that, we have had terrorist strike and threats, terrible threats of more terrorist strikes. We also have the threat of terrible economic dysfunction, chaos, leading to the breakdown of law and order. And it's in the midst of that that we seek to provide help to our listeners here on this program. And starting immediately, we're going to be making available to you. You'll begin, hopefully, next week to begin to hear some promotion concerning two separate devices. One, so that you can listen to this program anywhere in your home, anywhere in your office, through your computer. It's just a fantastic piece of equipment. You'll be hearing about that. But I want to tell you also about this special device. It's a radio, a special radio, very unique, operates on four different power sources for emergency purposes. And your gift of just $35 or more to Save America Ministries is going to put it in your hands. You want to call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. It's an incredible piece. The U.S. Army is using it. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA.
With news on the Information Radio Network, I'm Greg Moore. Correspondent John Belmont reports sales of previously owned homes fell again last month.
For December alone, they were down more than 2%, but the real story here is the entire year. The National Association of Realtors says sales of previously owned homes plunged an unlucky 13%, falling more in 2007 than at any other time since the recession year of 1982. Also, the price of a typical home actually dropped for an entire year for the first time in decades. The median price off 1.8% to $217,000. The realtor's chief economist expects sales to start to bounce back in the spring.
Marine Corporal Cesar Lauren is officially charged with first-degree murder in the death of a pregnant colleague. But prosecutors in North Carolina say they won't seek the death penalty against him if he is arrested in Mexico because of an extradition understanding. This is IRN.
Six. That's the number. Six out of ten Americans are now in debt. So if you're in trouble with debt, you're not alone. If your credit card bills are piling up, call Consolidated Credit now. The Freedom Quest program from Consolidated Credit can get the credit card companies to reduce or eliminate your interest. They'll consolidate your bills into one easy payment, and they'll cut your monthly payments by up to 50%. They're the experts, and that's why over 5 million people have called Consolidated Credit. 6 out of 10 people may be in debt, but one call to Consolidated Credit can get you out. They're the freedom people. Only Consolidated Credit has the Freedom Quest program. Call now. 1-800-897-8372. 1-800-897-8372. Consolidated Credit. When credit card debt is the problem, they're the solution.
5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Licensed by New York State Banking Department. Licensed Debt Management Service Provider, Maryland 49.
With an IRN Business News Update, I'm Dick Shannon. A new report confirms what home buyers and sellers have been seeing. Sales of previously owned homes dropped in December. Median price for a single-family home dropped 1.8% to $217,000. A French bank says they've uncovered over $7 billion in fraud by a single futures trader who orchestrated a series of bogus transactions. The fraud destabilized a major bank already exposed to the subprime crisis, France's second-largest bank by market value. Societe Generale must seek over $8 billion in new capital. The chief executive already offered to resign. Shares who've lost nearly half of their value in the past 6 months have been suspended. The trader, who wasn't named, uses knowledge of the group's security systems to conceal fraudulent positions. Ford narrowing its loss to $2.8 billion in the fourth quarter and $2.7 billion for the year. New buyout scheduled for its 54,000 hourly workers. With an IRN Business News Update, I'm Dick Shannon.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. Today we're looking at incredible developments, actually, geopolitical developments around the world, particularly as it relates to Russia and other countries and areas of the world that are mentioned either generally or specifically in the prophecy of Ezekiel 38 and 39. Behold, I am against you, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. I will turn you back and put hooks in your jaws, and I will bring you forth and all your armies with you, Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarma, and all their bands, and many people with them in the latter years. They will come and confederate secretly against Israel to take a spoil. I've indicated that I believe that that spoil is going to be black gold. There is something that will be drawing these nations to Israel like a magnet. What kind of spoil would Russia desire in Israel? What kind of spoil would China desire in Israel? What kind of spoil would the European Union want to make sure that Russia and China did not get control of in Israel? What kind of spoil would the Arab nations and the Islamic nations in the Middle East want to make sure that Israel did not have control of? What kind of spoil would the United States want to make sure that the Islamic world and Russia and China did not have control or dominion over in Israel? I think the answer to those questions is oil. Experts are warning that Russia is seeking influence over the vast Caspian oil reserves, the Caspian Sea. Rising oil prices, a resurgent Russia, and continued turbulence in the Middle East have intensified competition for control in the vast oil and gas reserves in the Caspian Sea. The competition involving big business and power politics pits Russia against the West. At stake, listen to this, at stake is world domination of the energy market. Now, that's very bold language. World domination of the energy market. You see, that's really what is at the heart of politics, international politics and policies these days. World domination of the energy market. The United States is seeking to keep the Islamic world and Russia and China from gaining domination of the energy market in the world. Because once that happens, you see, it's like those nations bringing America or the West to the ground and putting their foot on our necks. And they know that. This is a very, very big issue. Bigger than all of the politicking for the United States presidency. The competition involving big business and power politics is pitting Russia against the West. At stake is world domination of the energy market. Now, one leader has said he's recently traveled to Azerbaijan and Germany and has prepared a series of reports on the politics of oil. This story looks at transnational pipelines and how they become battlegrounds for influence and power. The Caspian region now supplies only a portion of the oil the world consumes, but its vast untapped reserves are believed to rival those of Russia and Saudi Arabia. Now, it's interesting. If you were to look at a globe or a map, you would find the Caspian Sea to border Russia and Turkey. And you would find, see, these two nations, large nations, concerned about the control of oil and power, energy, coming from the Caspian Sea. And if you look south, you will find your path will take you to Israel. Interestingly, fascinatingly, one of the leaders of Russia, Zhirinovsky, a about a dozen years ago, wrote a book called The Road to the South. In there, he laid out prophetically Russia's march to Israel. Now, I don't think that the leaders of Russia have allowed that to escape their memory. The march or the road to the south. Keep that in mind for future reference. An analyst with the Center for Security Policy in Washington says the future development of the Caspian energy-rich region could change the balance of power in the world. Are you beginning to grasp the gravity of this language? Changing the balance of power in the world? They're not talking about electrical power. They're talking about world power. In other words, these nations believe that the Caspian Sea is so rich in oil and gas that whoever is able to dominate this will dominate the world. But what if the world's greatest discovery, or one of the greatest discoveries of oil, should be found in little Israel? Can you imagine how that would shift the balance of power in the world? No wonder they would want to come and take a spoil, because it would so upset the balance of power through the control of black gold and the flow of the vast resources, monies, prosperity that comes from it, that it would become the prize of the world. Might just draw China and Russia and the kings of the South, the Islamic world, and the West, the European Union and America, into one massive world conflagration. Isn't that kind of what the Bible portrays? An autocratic Russia, if it ever gained monopoly on the Caspian region's energy supplies, would be able to impose its political will upon the entire world. What if it got its control over a vast oil reserve in Israel? Are you beginning to see the significance of what's developing in our world? This is all in the news right before us. Business Week. Russia looks for clout in pipeline talks. In Bulgaria, Russian President Vladimir Putin was expected to push this week for the construction of a web of pipelines that would cement Europe's... that was last week, by the way. Construction of a web of pipelines that would cement Europe's dependence on Russia's energy supply. See, Russia wants Europe dependent. The Kremlin has proposed making this former Soviet satellite a gateway, that is Bulgaria, a gateway for a major new natural gas pipeline called South Stream, which could branch off in several directions, dashing the European Union's hopes of reducing its growing reliance on Russia. Now you're beginning to see why the European Union may be desiring to merge with the U.S., the U.S. with the European Union for greater clout, merge their militaries together. But why? The flow of oil, my friends. Bottom line, that's what it's all about. Security and prosperity through oil. As part of the Kremlin's energy blitz, Russia promised to extend South Stream into Serbia and build a huge gas storage facility there, moves that would turn the Balkan nation into a major hub for Russian energy supplies to Europe. The proposal came as Belgrade has turned increasingly away from the West and opened its arms toward Russia, which has supported Serbia in the debate over the independence for Serbia's Kosovo region. Now you begin to see why that Serbia-Kosovo region is so incredibly sensitive politically in our world. It all comes back to oil. Next, we focus on Turkey and Russia. What an alliance.
The promised land was straight ahead. God had a showdown with Earth's greatest power broker, Pharaoh, demanding he release God's son Israel from the bondage of Egypt. But after 40 years in the wilderness, the Lord could never get the spirit of Egypt out of his children. Only 2 out of 600,000 male descendants of Abraham were allowed into the promised land. Does this apply to us? Over 400 times from Genesis to Revelation, we find the theme, out of Egypt. The Apostle Paul said, "All these things happen to warn us upon whom the ends of the world are come." Yet, American Christians, on the near edge of the Second Coming, are living in the spirit of Egypt as never before. That's why Chuck Chrismeyer's new book, Out of Egypt, is essential. Get your copy of Out of Egypt today for your gift of $17 to Save America Ministries. Call 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Build End Time Trust for End Time Trials. Call 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA.
Okay, how long have you been putting it off? A year? 2 years? Longer? You know you need to go. I'm talking about going to the dentist. What if there was a way to save up to 50% off your dental fees? Would you go? Well, there is a way. It's called the Aetna Dental Access Plan by Value Dental. Grab a pen, take down this phone number. It's 1-800-823-9405. When you go to a participating Aetna Dental Access Plan provider, you'll receive dramatic discounts on dental exams, cleanings, x-rays, fillings, crowns, and root canals. In fact, the Aetna Dental Access Plan will save you 30 to 50% on all your dental procedures. Plus, here's the best part. Now, for a limited time, you can try the Aetna Dental Access Plan free for 21 days. That's right, free for 21 days. So now you have no risk in trying the plan and no more excuses on why you can't go to the dentist. Come on, you know that dental work you've been putting off for you or someone in your family isn't going to fix itself. Try the Aetna Dental Access Plan free for 21 days. Call 1-800-823-9405. That's 1-800-823-9405. Free for 21 days. Call 1-800-823-9405.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. We're surgically dissecting the issues for destiny here as we look at the developments in Russia and in Europe and in the Middle East, and then also now with Iran and with Turkey. In this segment of the program, I want to direct your attention to first to Iran and then to Turkey, because, again, we're developing the current unfolding historical and prophetic dimensions of Ezekiel 38 and 39 as they are occurring even just in the last week and a half or 2 weeks. It's just astounding. I can't keep up with the filing of these materials. I mentioned to someone, I believe it was my wife, just this last weekend, what good would it be to write a book on the prophecy and these developments, because by the time the book was written and published, it would be so outdated. Things are happening so quickly. Never before have we had circumstances like this, but they're happening so rapidly that it's breathtaking, really. The scriptures in Ezekiel 38 talk about Persia. Persia was the ancient name for the country now known as Iran. I have before me a number of articles just coming out this week concerning the Russian relationship to Iran. Here's one, the Russian-Iran Alliance. The Russian-Iran Alliance. Now, it doesn't take a Philadelphia lawyer to figure this out. We've watched it happen for years and years and years. Russia's involvement with Iran, fueling their nuclear ambitions, providing technological support, and now most recently providing the actual fuel itself. In fact, here is this report. Third Russian uranium shipment to Iran, despite Israeli warnings. The third
Russian fuel shipment arrived last Friday at the Bushehr nuclear power plant in southern Iran despite warnings by Israel. Israel's foreign minister, Livni, had on Thursday warned in Moscow that Russian nuclear fuel deliveries to Iran could be used for military purposes. Addressing her Russian counterpart, Mr. Lavrov, she said Iran showed proof of dangerous ideology bordering on madness, adding impetus to the danger of the Islamic State developing nuclear weapons. But despite the warnings, the third shipment of 11 tons of enriched uranium arrived in the Bushehr port Friday, and five further shipments are expected to be transferred before March. Iran is to receive a total of 82 tons of nuclear fuel for its Bushehr power plant, with eight shipments. Iran hopes to launch its first nuclear power station in the summer of 2008. Now, you see, 2008 is a fulcrum year. This is a critical, critical year, my friends. Last week, we did a special program talking about that, or was it 2 weeks ago? I hope that you're keeping track of these programs and listening to them. If you're not able to listen to all of them, go to our website, saveus.org, and you can listen to them there. You can download them. You can listen to them on the archive section of our website, going back up to 60 days. What an incredible blessing. You can call your friends. You can email them around the world. Say, you really need to go to this website. You need to listen to this program. You're not going to believe it. Do that. What a blessing that would be. If you value this program, they will as well. And quite frankly, can I just tell you that last year, I want to put things in perspective for you. We've been indicating how difficult it has been in the last several months to raise resources, because the greater the need for the message that we bring, the more limiting the resources that are coming from God's people. It's just amazing. God's people are running from the truth. They're looking for their best life now. And they completely lost their perspective on eternity. Completely lost their perspective, God's perspective, on life and on history and on prophecy and on fulfillment of God's purposes and His plan in the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so the resources have slowed down dramatically. But let me put this in context. Last year, 45% of all the donations to Save America Ministries came from outside the continental United States. People who cannot even listen to this program on a radio station like maybe you are. But they, not even Americans, provided 45% of the total donations to Save America Ministries. You see, people outside this country, Christians, looking at what has happened to our country, looking at what has happened to the church, looking at the tremendous uncertainties of our world, they see the need more than God's people in this country. They have more concern outside this country for America than we do for ourselves. They see the apostasy. Now, I really want to urge you to go before the Lord and ask what He would have you to give at this critical moment, and send your gift by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. Don't wait for the other guy to do it. He's not doing it. Guaranteed. He's not doing it. Many of you have been listening for months and even years and haven't lifted a finger to help, even to pray, let alone help in a financial partnership to keep the message going. Can you imagine the incredible impact of your dollar? Not one cent of it goes to salaries. It all goes directly to getting the message out. Directly. We really need your help. Will you help? I'm not going to beg you for money. I'm just laying out the need. The need is great. The opportunities are incredible if we had the resources. Now let's go forward. We've had the Russian-Iranian alliance. Last week, the foreign minister of Israel went to Moscow for talks on Iran, even as Russia, in defiance of both the U.S. and Israel, sent more shipments of nuclear fuel to Iran. Now, that's where we are there. At this time, to show its incredible pride and arrogance and the spirit of the Russian bear rising up on its hind legs again, came this report. Three signs of the times, all reflecting a different aspect of the bluster and Soviet nostalgia that have become some of the most alarming aspects of the Putin regime. The first is an announcement by Russia's defense ministry that for the first time since 1990, army tanks and nuclear missiles will be part of the traditional May 9th Victory Day parade on Red Square, commemorating the Soviet victory in World War II. They're redefining history, my friends. They're parading the Soviet era as if it was grand and wonderful, reviving Russia's power and glory. The parade will be back to something close to the full-scale military pageants of Soviet days. Now, let's talk about Turkey. Let's talk Turkey right now. From Forbes magazine, America's business magazine, and in Europe as well, Russia boosts gas exports to Turkey. Russia has further boosted natural gas exports to Turkey, Russian gas monopoly Gazprom said, as a cut in Iranian gas supplies to Turkey continued. From Turkish Daily News, the Turkish breeze is blowing in Russia. 2008, here's 2008 again, has been declared the Turkish culture year, not in Turkey, but in Russia, and will be marked by concerts by Turkey's mega pop stars, Tarkan and Erener. Many events are set to take place in the jewel of Russia's imperial crown, St. Petersburg, as well as the capital city of Moscow, starting with a concert by the Turkish Presidential Symphony Orchestra at the International Music House in Moscow on April 8th. Officials from the Russian Federal Agency for Culture and Cinematography announced the date of Tarkan's concert as May 27th, which is celebrated as the Day of the City in St. Petersburg, Russia. There are going to be a whole lot more cultural events. Why is this important? You say, this doesn't sound very necessary, very important. Listen, what's happened is a tectonic shaking, geopolitical shaking of the world. Turkey was an ally of the United States for 50 years. Turkey, there was no love lost between Turkey and Russia. Now, all of a sudden, in the last 2 years, dramatic, earth-shaking, political shaking going on in our world. And Russia has opened its arms to Turkey, and Turkey, walking away from the West, is running into the seductive arms of Russia. Then, also from the Turkish Daily News, a security firm owned by Fatih Aktaş and his Russian colleague, Gennady Bowman, is in charge of preparing the security automation systems of many institutions and firms in Russia, ranging from the Federal Security Service to Russian telecom. Are you beginning to get the picture? You say, well, what's that have to do with anything? Well, back to Ezekiel 38. What nations are going to be involved? Gog, Magog, Persia, that's Iran, Ethiopia, many people believe that's northern Africa, Sudan, and Libya with them, Gomer, Germanic tribes, and the House of Togarma, many people believe that that is referring to Turkey. and all their bands and many people with them in the latter years to come into the land gathered back against the mountains of Israel. That's Israel, friends. That's the Jewish people. And they're going to come to take a spoil. I want to ask you a question. If all this were to take place next week, setting forth the final echoing events to usher in the second coming of Jesus Christ, would you be ready? Don't answer too quickly. Because Jesus is not coming back for a bride with spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. It's time to repent. It's time to return to the Lord who has wooed you.